The following is a presentation of Team Glory Sports.
This week on 97.5 Glory FM is week number three of the high school football season for us as we celebrate the Labor Day weekend with one of the newest, biggest rivalries in the area. It's one end of the county to the other as North Hall travels to Cherokee Bluff to take on the Bears. Last week, it was North Hall opening up the season with a 24-21 loss to Wesleyan on the road as the Wolves kicked the field goal with 3 seconds remaining in the game to lift themselves past the Trojans, while Cherokee Bluff is off to a great 2-0 start with wins over Lumpkin County and last week over Appalachie. The Bears are at home this week as they take on the Trojans in high school football action on 97.5 Glory FM as we count down to kickoff of today's game on the Long Street Cafe pregame show. And it starts now.
97.5 Glory FM. WGTJ Radio presents Friday Night Football in North Georgia. Welcome to the countdown to kickoff of tonight's game with the Long Street Cafe pregame show. Let's go to the field for tonight's game on 97.5 Glory FM.
And hi, everyone. Welcome once again to High School Football 97.5 Glory FM. The team of Joe Gailey, Harper Abell, Gary Glenn, and Mike Warford with you here from Yonah Field. What has become one of the best rivalries in the short six-year history of Cherokee Bluff into their seventh year, and they've had really some great games in the past. And Joe, we're expecting another one here tonight.
I think it will be, Mike, as Ron, our buddy Ron Poole, you say it might be good old-fashioned slobber knocker tonight because these two teams know each other, obviously, from youth ball all the way up because they play against each other in the NGYFA. And a lot of these kids play a lot of multiple sports. North Hall, they lost last week on a heartbreaker to Wesleyan, 24-21, field goal with 3 seconds left. Wesleyan won that one. And Cherokee Bluff beat Appalachia pretty handily last week, 49-7. But I think you can throw all that out the door, if you will, because the last three or four meetings have been decided by 14 points total. And so I think it'll be a good close ball game tonight. It really is going to depend on the quarterback play, I believe, of both teams, because North Hall's two platooning, if you will, with Alex Sleeman and Smith McGarvey, both of them throwing for over 100 yards last week. So we just have to see how that goes. Harper is, if they throw a lot in the flats or if they try to go deep much. And I think that's going to be the big key in tonight's game.
Yeah, that's what I saw last week in the film of Wesleyan, is that they were very successful, the Trojans were, at getting the ball out in the flats and turning a 2 or 3 yard gain into a 20-yarder or a 15-yarder or just keeping the sticks moving. So that'll be, again, you had left-handed and right-handed quarterback. That'll be an interesting dynamic. They've been working on this a lot longer than we have. So the receivers have figured that out. But if I am Sean Pender, am I worried about my running game right now, Joe?
Yeah.
Because they couldn't move the ball on the ground last week.
When I look at some of the stats that Jody Kenny sent us this week, rushing-wise, North Hall only had a total of 79 rushing yards, which, they haven't been a big rushing team since Sean got there. Now, they had it a little bit more power last year than what they've got. I think Gary can chime in on that, too, is we had a little bit more running with Parker Carlton. He's playing defense primarily this year.
But the big thing with Gary coming in is that I said in the game plan program that it's going to be either a defensive struggle, a low-scoring game, or it could be a high-scoring game.
Yep.
But it's all going to come down to what the defense does, Gary.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but, you're concerned about your rushing game, but when you're throwing for almost 250 yards, that sort of takes up the slack a little bit, doesn't it, huh?
Yeah.
You've got two quarterbacks. One was a transfer from Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
So they're used to winning. He's used to winning. And like you said last week, they got into a situation where it came down to that field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And the other team connected, and there you go. You just kind of go across the field, you shake the opponent's hand, you flush that one and say, okay, we did some good things here, but we've got some things we got to work on.
Yep.
And if we know anything about North Hall, we know that they work on stuff from week to week.
It just shows you cannot commit mistakes because it could cost you a ball game. We get ready as we count down to kick off tonight's ball game at 7:30 with Cherokee Bluff and North Hall. It's a non-region game this year. We'll tell you more about that and more here on 97.5 Glory FM with the Long Street Cafe pregame show.
Give me an L, give me an O, give me an N.
Hope Bunch, the voice of Longstreet Cafe, what you doing?
I'm putting our cheer together for our tailgate season. Whether you're taking our home-cooked favorites to the game or eating with us afterwards, we've got something for everyone.
So what can I do to help?
Glad you asked, Mary. I need you to take care of our mascots.
No, wait.
Thanks, Mary, and they'll need to stay at Cheer House, too.
She did it to me again.
Longstreet Cafe with two Gainesville locations.
If you need on-time, expert plumbing service, Conditioned Air Systems is here for you. Our plumbers deliver the highest quality service in North Georgia 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. We've been North Georgia's source for elite residential and commercial services since 1983. Our licensed plumbers offer services for installation and repairs of pipes, water heaters, septic lines, and sump pumps. Choose Conditioned Air Systems for quality service and unmatched knowledge for your plumbing needs.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
Innovation at Jackson EMC.
To me, innovation is taking technology and doing something new with it.
I'm working with a global company. We're helping them be able to reduce their carbon footprint through some of our programs.
Here at Jackson EMC, we embrace innovation, such as solar power, electric vehicle programs, energy-efficient Right Choice homes. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Longstreet Cafe pregame show on 97.5 Glory FM.
And we're counting down to kick off tonight's ball game between the Bears and Trojans. It is youth night here. At Cherokee, but no, Joe Lowe always loves that, don't you, buddy?
It was always a fun time. The kids had a blast, and you know, the teams, the programs that I was with, it was really cool because the varsity teams and JV players welcomed them in. They would get the kids. We'd get them to line up so the players could run through them out onto the field, and that was really cool. The cheerleaders usually hung out with the cheerleaders, the varsity cheerleaders. So it's always a fun night. It's a good thing for those kids to look up to those guys, and I think that's good for them.
Hey, Joe. I'm just looking out there. I'm counting 10U boys teams, and they are being dwarfed by the amount of girls that are cheerleaders. That line is going from one end of the track to the other for the girl cheerleaders. So don't tell me football's in trouble.
No. It's I'll tell you what, it's funny that you say that, and I'll say this real quick, Mike. And guys, the thing is the cheerleaders usually outnumbered the players on the team in every youth group that we were ever in because everybody wanted to dress up.
It's unbelievable how many. I mean, you had the coaches in with the boys, and there's still twice as many girls that are out there.
And the big question is, how many of these young guys out there be here at Cherokee Bluff maybe in about another 7-8 years, you know?
You're going to have anywhere, Mike, from half down to 10%. And the reason it falls off is usually – after 12 to 13, and this studies prove this, they stop having fun, you know, and then they might decide to play one sport. They may not be a KT Thompson and play everything. They may just say, hey, I'm just going to play baseball. I'm just going to play this. Who knows? So, but about 12 to 15% is about what graduates on up from age 13 on up to varsity sports.
Yeah, and some of them, unfortunately, they reach the level that, you know what, I can't get any better than what I am right now, and I notice everybody else is kind of passing me. They get bigger, faster, stronger, and that continues all throughout. But you know what, there's other feeder parks that are in the area, and it balances out. But that's always going to be the conundrum, Mike, is just how good can these guys get, and will they still love the game enough when they're in 8th or 9th, 10th, 11th grade to where the sacrifice and everything like that is not only worth it, but it's something that they still desire and have a passion for.
You've seen it. Joe has seen it. Gary has seen it. Parents, grandparents say, yes, you're going to do this because you're going to get a college scholarship.
Gary's involved in it now.
See it every Saturday. And it's stunning how many kids are involved in youth league sports right now when you take into account the kids and the cheerleaders and all of that kind of stuff. And they take it seriously. The cheerleaders have – they don't just get out there and do the two-bits, four-bit stuff. They have coaches –
cheerleading coaches now and for the youth league stuff.
Well, then they do competition cheer, too. They'll branch off and take a group of them that goes to competition cheer. I'll tell you something that's really caught on here in the Northeast Georgia area in the last 2 years, and that is that cross-country. Cross-country and track has really picked up.
Oh, yeah.
And 8 or 10, if not more, of the recreation programs that I've been around all have it now, and they compete against each other, and the kids absolutely love it. And I think it's great for them to, you know, keep running, and they stay in shape. And a lot of it is individual sports, so they don't have to worry about being on a team. All they got to do is take care of themselves.
And Joe, the one good thing we can say about the GHSA is that they offer so many different activities for young people now.
That's exactly right. If you hear the commercial that's played for NFHS about talking about officials and scorekeepers and adjudicators, and they talk about all the different sports, and you know, whether it's lacrosse down in the Atlanta area, whether it's soccer, whether it's cross country and track, football, the traditional sport, football, basketball, baseball, softball, you've got anything, just about anything and everything. You've got, you know, BB shooting in some cases.
Yeah,
here
in the fall, hey, we've got football, of course. Mm-hmm. We've got volleyball for the girls. Softball for the girls. We've got cross country for both boys and girls.
Yep, exactly right. You know, and it's just growing and getting bigger, depending on what the parents can afford to do. And, you know, it costs so much to play nowadays, guys. I know that, you know, Mike and I have talked to a few Booster Club folk, and, you know, when you're looking at $1,000, $1,500 per child to play, back when we played, Gary,
we just got hand-me-down stuff.
Exactly.
You went in the back of an old shed somewhere, and they said,
exactly,
here's you some shoulder pads, boy, and here's some pants, and here's a girdle, and here's some – but right now, the way they play in varsity now, they don't even have wear hip pads and knee pads much anymore. They look like playing in bicycle shorts.
They don't wear the knee pad. They got it up the most of the coverage down here right above their knee.
Man, when I was playing, I wanted to be suited up and armored in every way I possibly could. I didn't want anything getting hit or hurt.
Bigger was better, right, Gary?
Absolutely.
More pad.
The
more padding.
The Michelin man.
That's right. Can't move, but I'm not going to get it. I'm going to enjoy it and hurt somebody with all these pads that I've got on.
Exactly right.
You mentioned something earlier, Mike, the rainbow or the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is a scholarship for so many of these kids. And the reason that becomes more of a reality is because the Georgia teams, the players, of course, are so much better than what they've been. They've caught up to the rest of the nation. You still have California and Texas. You can recruit there. You can recruit in Florida. You bet. You just go and you can find a kid. But now you can come to Georgia and you can go to South, Middle, North Georgia, and you can find kids and they can play.
Absolutely.
And so many levels of football now, too. You know, you got all the levels of the NCAA and the NAIA. So, you know, if you're semi-decent, you can probably find somewhere to play.
Yep. All right. And with that, Joe, let's go ahead and do this for the play of the national anthem. Come back, everybody, to the starting lineups.
All right. Now, these are tentative, but for Cherokee Bluff on offense, you've got receivers Malcolm Millsap, KT Thompson. Tied in is Bryce Fontenot. Across the line, Ben Craig, number 66. Number 58, Grant McElroy. Aiden Willis is number 73. He'll be your center. A guard will be Cohen Carter, number 55. And number 78, Jordan Maddox. Quarterback is Brooks Bryan. And number 2, a fullback, number 47, Caleb Cooper. And tailback, number 24, Connor Griffin. The slot, when he's in there, will be number 1, Landon Kemp. Defensively for the Trojan, across the line. And they've got, I'll list more than what they'll play, obviously. But defensive end, you have 34, Matthew Arceo. Defensive end, number 50, Robbie Lee. And defensive end number 35, Tanner White. The tackles will be 0, Charlie House, and 95, Dawson Reed. The linebackers will be Dalton Hultsey, Parker Carlton, and Michael Donatelli. Then the defensive backs, you've got Jake Clark, number 19, number 5, Connor Harwood, number 14, Wade Haynes, 15, Walker Davis, and 11, Charlie Dyer. On the other side of the football for North Island offense, receivers, you've got number 3, Ty Kemp, number 1, Cole Cable, number 22, Jacob Adams, and number 9, Ethan Croft. 88, Dawson Gray is your tight end for the Trojans. On the line, you've got 73, Cade Hawthorne at a tackle, along with 75, Mason McGill at a tackle. Your guards will be 64, Nick Sanders and Thomas Green, number 59. Your center will be Eli Hamm, number 77. Your quarterbacks will vary Alex Schliemann, number 7, and number 8, Smith McGarvey. Those will be your quarterbacks. The running backs will be Luke Jenkins and R.J. Dalton will be in there. Defensively for the Bears, you'll have defensive end Tony Rushing, number 9, and Ben Craig, 66, and those guard will be Hudson Davis, number 60. And the backers will be 24, Connor Griffin, Rylan Ackerman, 7, 47, Caleb Cooper, and number 43, Brett Pierce. I'll give you the rest in a minute.
And we got more of it coming up. Back in 2 minutes after the National Anthem on 97.5 Glory FM.
Hi, Hope Bunch, the voice of Longstreet Cafe.
Mary, did you know Longstreet Cafe supports great programs like FCA? Northeast Georgia FCA is working to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes.
And they do a great job of making their mission work through the E3 strategy of making disciples who make disciples. I remember that from my days in school.
Yeah, FCA has been around a while.
Hey now, find out more at GHCFCA.org.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
Back to school shouldn't mean back to the doctor. Make sure you go to Riverside Pharmacy for all of your health needs. They have everything from hand sanitizers to all of the vitamins you'll need. But if your child does get sick, then the expert pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy can get your family back to school by filling all of your prescriptions. They'll even deliver them in the Gainesville area. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
Good evening, everyone. This is Clint Fair, the North Georgia Director with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, here on 97.5 Glory FM Friday Night Football. If you could, please join us as we pray to kick off this Friday night. Lord, we thank you for loving us. God, we thank you for who you are. God, help us tonight, God, to look to you in all things. Thank you for the tools and the gifts that you've blessed these coaches and athletes with as they perform all across North Georgia, competing in this great game of football. God, watch over, protect them. God, help us to live for you. Help them to live for you. God, we thank you for radio stations like 97.5, Glory FM. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you. God, we love you. Again, watch over and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, back to the Longstreet Cafe pregame show on 97.5, Glory FM.
We're counting down to kick off the night's game between North Hall and Cherokee Bluff. The Cherokee Bluff Middle School Chorus presenting the National Anthem tonight. And our own Nathan Laddie's sister, Katie Laddie, part of that chorus. They did an outstanding job this evening. Joe's going to finish the starting lineup. Joe?
Yep, cornerback for Cherokee Bluff, number 15, Tyler Underwood. And number 8, Dylan Haley. Free safety, number 2, Landon Kemp. And strong safety, number 3, Colin Mears. Mike, an interesting point for tonight. You'll be hearing Kemp a lot because we got Cousins playing on the team here. Excuse me. Of course, Jeremy Kemp, head baseball coach here at Cherokee Bluff. His brother, Joe Kemp, helps out at North Hall. And then the brothers, or the cousins, Ty Kemp, is a receiver and plays defensive back for North Hall. Landon Kemp, defensive back and receiver for the Bears. So that adds a little bit of a fun aspect to the game tonight.
Oh, no doubt about it. You got to love that with the Kemp family, having the ties of both of these schools this evening, and be interested to see. I know Jeremy told us more. They don't talk sports at the family gatherings from that standpoint. They got nothing to talk about.
I got to see Jeremy when I went down to take some pictures for Nathan a few minutes ago, and as I was coming back up, I was blessed to see Miss Kay and Jimmy, the patriarch and matriarch of the Kemp family.
Absolutely.
I got to see them a few minutes ago, so it was good to see them.
Absolutely.
So the Kemp family's bigger than the Gailey family?
No.
See, I didn't think so, Mike. I didn't think so. But they're like on the podium, right?
They're either pretty close.
Silver or bronze medalists,
yeah, exactly.
But they're not the.
Absolutely.
They can't hang out with the Gailey family.
All of ours are
on
older
Thanksgiving.
Now,
it'll be interesting as Gary gets ready for the coin toss, and he'll introduce the starting captains for today's game.
You know, guys, we talked a little bit about the North Hall 2 quarterback system, how effective both Schleeman and McGarvey were, but look at a game that Brooks had last week. He had 220 yards of passing and 5 touchdowns.
So both of these teams are capable of moving the ball through the air, and one of the keys may be how good a rusher they're going to have tonight.
Gary, that's why I mentioned about it could be a low-scoring game if the defense can stop these guys. Look at what North Hall has faced the first 2 weeks. They had that Division I quarterback at Wesleyan last week, and then we scored the three touchdowns, and now you've got what Cherokee Bluff has found is an outstanding quarterback. People say, well, he's new. No, he's not new to this place. He was here a couple years ago.
Well, this is the seventh time that these teams have met. Right now, North Hall leads the series 4-2. We'll have the captains on the field. And, Joe, again, you won't have any trouble telling them apart tonight. North Hall's all in white, and Cherokee Bluff's going to have on those purple jerseys. Your officiating crew tonight from the Lanier Officials Association, the referee is Ron Regan. The umpire is Barry Woodall. Headline judge is Jay Worley. Greg Hendrickson is your line judge. Field judge is Dylan Laurie. Dylan Lurie is your field judge. Side judge is Sean Schumacher. Electric clock operator is Kerry Clark, and Kenneth Osborne is the play clock operator. I see them lining up in the end zone here, and just a minute we should have them walking out. And meeting at midfield, Ron Regan again, the referee tonight, the man in the white hat.
Gary, you mentioned about the play clock. I want to tell you guys, I did talk with Jason Tester about the situation last week. The first quarter, they had the field goal, and they had the question about the play clock reset. They got kind of thing. Nobody knew what happened. I was told there was a penalty on the play, and that's what happened. And they marked it, and then they thought they had a first down. They said, no, we don't have a first down. And that's what happened when the players went to the sidelines. They're going to bring back in the starters instead of bringing the kicking team in. That's what happened with that one. And I found out this week talking to Coach Jason Tester.
Well, we never saw a yellow flag, so sometimes that confuses us if we don't see a hanky on the field anywhere.
Yep.
Captains for tonight's games for North Hall, you got 0, Charlie House. Number 7, Alex Schleyman. Number 8, Smith McGarvey. Number 11, Charlie Dyer. And for the Bears, Cherokee Bluff will have number 1, Landon Kemp. Number 14, Caden Thompson. And number 88, Garrett Hyder. And number 15, who is Tyler Underwood. Those are the captains for both teams tonight. You've got kind of a split crew, Gary. Usually, my buddy Keith Hammond is the referee on this one, the white hat, but he's over at West Forsyth. He split off tonight. He's the president of the association this year, and I guess he can do that. So I texted with him earlier today to find out where he was going to be tonight.
Assign yourself to the game. That's what
exactly.
You do.
Exactly.
You're in charge. You can help make the rule.
Exactly. So, but Alex, three or four of the guys off of that crew are here tonight, Sean and Jay.
We know that North Hall is going to fly.
They're all in white, green trimmed in black headgear, purple tops, white pants, and white headgear for the Bears.
Well, we're about to get the coin toss here, and we're ready to go.
Play football together, and now you're playing against each other, right? Play the football game with your bodies, not your mouth. Okay? Any questions about that? You are the visiting team. That's heads, that's tails. What's your call?
Tails.
He wants tails.
All right. Cherokee Bluff has won the toss, and they will defer.
All right. Coming up next, 0975 Glory FM. It's a kickoff for Friday Night Football in North Georgia.
Give me an L. Give me an O. Give me an N.
Hope Bunch, the voice of Longstreet Cafe, what you doing?
I'm putting our cheer together for our tailgate season. Whether you're taking our home-cooked favorites to the game or eating with us afterwards, we've got something for everyone.
So what can I do to help?
Glad you asked, Mary. I need you to take care of our mascots.
No, wait.
Thanks, Mary, and they'll need to stay at Cheer House, too.
She did it to me again.
Longstreet Cafe with 2 Gainesville locations.
97.5 Glory FM. WGTJ presents Friday Night Football in North Georgia. Tonight's game is brought to you by Conditioned Air Systems, NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine, Jackson EMC, Duplicating Products, Riverside Pharmacy, EMC Security, Siphon Logistics, North Hall Tire and Wheel, Representative Lee Hawkins, and by Millie's Drapery and Decorating. It's time for the kickoff of Friday Night Football in North Georgia on 97.5 Glory FM, WGTJ.
And with a play-by-play story of high school football on 97.5 Glory FM, here's Joey.
Thank you, Mike. Welcome, everybody. Cherokee Bluff in their purple tops with the white numbers, white bottoms with a purple pinstripe, the white headgear with purple stripe, and the bear paw on the helmet. North Hall all in white with the black headgear, the Trojan emblem on top, the green outlined in black numbers, all white from top to bottom. You've got Cole Cable, Luke Jenkins back deep for the Trojans. Garrett Hyder will be kicking for the Bears. He'll be kicking from the 40, right square in the middle of the field on that little X where they'll kick off from tonight. North Hall, as I said, all in white. The referee's holding up. Checks to make sure his staff is ready. He says, we're ready. Hyder will kick off with the left foot. A little pop-up going to come down over on the far side. Number 88, fair catches it right there. That's going to be Dawson Gray. He does a fair. He's a tight end. He fair catches it right at the 31 yard line. 31 is where they'll mark it at. First and 10 for the Trojan.
Whew, that gunpowder is still in the air down here.
It's getting to me up here. 27.
Yeah, it's like the 4th of July. Just had their grand explosions
with purple smoke.
Oh, yeah.
I think Convoy said it best. It clogged up with sinuses, Joe.
Tried it on the far side, running. They gave it to number 2, Luke Jenkins. Luke gets close to the first down. He does, out to the 40, guys. Yeah, they marked it back at the 27, and he got out to the 40. It looks like, 13-yard gain.
Well, he just got yards in that one rush that he got all last week.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, that was Alex Schleyman. He is the quarterback. He's in the shotgun. One man in motion, that's going to be Cable. Cable's going to run around this way with a switch. Oh, he's tackled in the backfield by number 3 right there. That's going to be Colin Muirs. Makes the tackle on the near side. A loss of 5 back to the 35. That will be second down and 15.
Well, Myers is a senior, but he's not real big. 5'8", 140, but he got all of him that time. It wasn't a bad play design, but Myers just came out. I don't think he was blocked.
Probably wasn't. He came up from his safety position and made the play. You got 1, 2, 3 wideouts, 1 far and 2, and then you 4 wideouts. One's kind of split out a little bit off the far end over there. Slayman's still in. Going to hand off to Jenkins, bouncing out, trying to. And the purple wave is going to come in and tackle him for another 3-yard loss. Leading the pack is Rylan Ackerman, who will call a lot because he is in on the backfield a lot.
Yeah, Ackerman at an outside linebacker position just basically skates down the line. The play was going away from him, but it was bottled up between the guard and tackle and gave him a great opportunity to catch up and make another tackle for another. That's a 1-yard loss there, but 2 tackles for losses there. Negative yardage for the Trojans.
Third down and 16. 4 wideouts. 1 and 1. Ty Kemp in motion. Slayman back to pass. Throws it right on dump pass over the middle. Got it over to Jenkins. Jenkins is going to get some of it back. Out to about the 42-and-a-half, 43. Tyler Underwood makes the tackle there at the 42-yard line. Rode him out of bounds. It'll be fourth down and about 7.
He got squeezed against the sideline, Joe. They had nowhere to run. Although that was a good-looking run that time.
Jenkins last week, Gary and Harper, led the team and has the most receptions in North Hall history in a game with 11.
Well, you got him and Cole Cable, and they were, you got basically a pair of 100-yard receivers right there in that first game.
R.J. Dalton in the backfield this time. Looks like they've tried to go for it, but then Slayman backs up. He'll do a little quick kick from the 38, pop-up right over the top. Got that reverse kick, but it's rolling and rolling and rolling down inside the 35, the 25, down to about the 22-yard line. So not a bad kick. He got a good little roll out of it. And their first possession, basically 3 plays and out. A 32-yard punt puts it down to the 23, it looks like, and that's where the Bears will take over first and 10 on their first possession of the game. 10-28 in the quarter. 0-0 your score.
You mentioned, Joe, too, this is a non-region game. North Hall is in Region 6 AAA this year. The Bears are in Region 8 AAA.
We'll talk a little about that in a second when we have a little bit of a break. But in the quarterback, Brooks Bryan in the backfield. He's got one back there with him. That's Griffin. 2 men, 1 man in motion this time. They're going to give it to Griffin. Griffin's going to try to get through. He got through one way up to the 30, almost a 31. So he got about 6, maybe 7 yards on the carry before being tripped up at the 30-yard line. He fell forward to the 31.
Nice little move there at the line of scrimmage by Connor Griffin. He ends up faking out Walker Davis, the outside linebacker. Walker ends up on his knees. grabbing at air, and we've got a second, and that's, I'm going to say he got eight there. Is that pretty
close?
Yeah,
he got eight. That's what it looks like. Second and two now. Back to the quarterback. Brian throws a little out on and dropped by KT Thompson on the far side. Unusual. Saw KT catch several week before last, and that was right in his breadbasket. I think that one was old-fashioned. I wanted to run before I caught it.
Absolutely. He ran a little stop route. He had the first down. He needed to get to the 33-yard line. He was going to catch that ball at the 36, but he was looking upfield just slightly ahead of the ball, and usually it ends up on the ground. It does here in this situation, third and two.
Millsap Thompson, and now we've got a offsides on North Hall. And that'll give them the first down out to the 36-yard line. Not sure if it was the big man House or if it was the man over there to his other side, Dawson Reed. But either way, one of them was offside. Pushes him out to the 36. It'll be a first and 10 for the Bears. The first down of the night for either team.
Enjoy the first score of the night. First quarter, it's East Jackson on top of Dawson County, 7-0 in Dawsonville.
East Jackson's playing hard this year. Got some wins under the belt. Three wide outs, one guy in a slot. Malcolm on this side, looking to throw. Brian throws out the far side, dropped. Man. Number one, the intended receiver, Landon Kemp. Looks like was at an out route. He going out there and tried to reach back behind him and missed it.
Yeah, just getting out into the flat, and two balls that hit guys right in between the numbers. And if you're wearing number one, it's on the vertical.
Exactly.
It is right there on that one. He puts his hands up and, again, wants to catch the ball and run with it before he actually has the ball in his hands.
Look back over his shoulder just a little bit.
Second down and 10. Brian in the gun. 24, Connor Griffin behind him. Three wideouts, a guy in a slot. This time I'm going to hand to Griffin. Griffin's going to try and bob outside to the 40. The 45 down. The Bubble. Ball came out. Who fell on it? Let's see. I think Purple's still on it. White says
they are. I think Cherokee Bluff.
Cherokee Bluff fell back on it right there to 43-yard line.
Somebody from North Hall made a snatch at it in the air but couldn't corral it.
Good job to pull it away because it looked like Griffin was already a step past it when the ball flew out from behind. And when it did, it hit the ground, and you had several white and several purple jerseys, and the purple jersey, for their luck, fell on top of it. It's
Landon,
third down about three. Landon fell on top.
Yep, number one.
Third down and three. Got to get to the 46. We're about to 43. Going to hand off to Griffin again. Griffin bouncing outside. Got the first down.
Flag.
45-40. He could go all the way, and he does. Touchdown, but we've got yellow on the field.
Flag down.
They got a flag back at the 42.
Yep.
That first block right here.
They threw it on the side. Judge threw it. It's right there on the side. Somebody probably hit somebody from behind.
Cherokee Bluff is pointing about who did it. And the referee, Ron Reagan, illegal procedure on the offense, so that'll bring that touchdown back.
Well, they threw it immediately. They didn't wait till he got halfway down the field and do it. They threw it as soon as he turned the corner.
Isn't that dead ball foul?
Yeah, it was. There were flags on both sides of the field. The official on the other side. So someone had lined up incorrectly. So it's only 5 yards, but boy, when you take anything off the scoreboard, that's a tough one to live with.
Third down, about eight. Ball spotted right outside the 35. Or excuse me, spotted about the 38. And they've got to get to the 46.
Haley and Fontenot end up coming out for the Bears.
You got Landon Kemp in, KT Thompson, Malcolm Millsap in at receivers.
Jackson Perkle.
Perkle in the backfield. Ryan looking to pass, throws it right over the middle, incomplete through it behind his intended receiver. That was Landon Kemp.
Wow, that was way behind the intended receiver. Nobody was there. Landon was of either color shirt for 5-6 yards.
Landon was like running a go route that time, and he threw it behind him.
Probably Joe, I was going to say, Harper, you see where North Hall is. You just so many different being there on the line of scrimmage defensively.
Well, and they fly to the ball. And when you, if you look at the stats from last week, you had a whole bunch of people making a whole bunch of tackles or making assists.
Here's the punt from Hyder. Hyder, the left footer, hits it to 28 and rolls inside the 20, inside the 15. Really nice punt for Hyder. Down to the 10, the 9, that's where it'll be down. Really, really nice punt. Ball was kicked from the 38, a 53-yard punt for Garrett Hyder. He got a good roll that one after he hit, fellas, for sure.
Yeah, when he hits that turf, sometimes it takes off.
If you got that good spin on it, which he did that time, and it just kept rolling, 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 and rolled all the way down to the 9, that's where the Trojans will have it. first and 10 on their second possession. 8:38 here in the first quarter. No score from Yona Field between the Bears and the Trojans. You will have Schliemann in at quarterback, number 7. Looks like in the backfield, you got Jenkins and probably Dalton. They give off to Jenkins. He's going to bounce up to about the 13, almost 14-yard line. So he got about 4, second down and 6. So they're trying to run it. That's a little bit more than we thought. Colin Muirs with the tackle. I was kind of like you. I didn't think they would run it that much, but they're running the ball more than throwing it here.
Yeah, they established the run. I think that was something that a takeaway from the Wesleyan game. We better run the ball if we're going to play North Hall football.
Run it up to give it to Jenkins again. He gets outside the edge, but not much. He only got about a yard, maybe to the 14, maybe a half a yard at the most. And that tackle is going to be by Brett Pierce right there, one of the linebackers.
Yeah, but Joe, can you say maybe a little strategy going on right now with both coaches?
Oh, yeah.
You want to show everything right now?
Yep. It's all strategy in the first two rounds here, as I would call it. Looking for that breakaway like they had a while ago. They don't have the penalty, and the Bears have the score. Schliemann steps up, puts Jenkins on one side. Got Cole Cable wide out on far side. R.J. Dalton in the backfield. Throws it, almost intercepted. Over the hands, tipped high by number 3 that time, Ty Kemp. He tipped it, and luckily for them, the purple jersey didn't pick it up because he had number 3. Colin Muirs almost picked that one off.
Yeah, and Tyler Underwood was right at the sideline, too, and it was just out of his grasp. If he could have been about another 6 inches closer to that ball, I think that was a pick six.
I agree with you. Nothing but green and purple turf in front of him, that's for sure.
James Hendricks, number 61, big offensive tackle, had to come off the field. I think his helmet
popped off.
I don't think it came off, but something was loose, and they were going to have that fixed, but it's fourth down anyways.
Well, this is exactly what Cherokee Bluff wanted, you know, to flip the field like this. Now you're punting, you know, the line of scrimmage is your 13, and you're punting out of your own end zone.
Wyatt Tumlin will kick it right at the goal line probably when he catches it. He's about 2, almost 3 yards deep into the purple there. He catches it, low snap, got it off barely. Eye end over end backwards is caught by KT right on the 43-yard line. So that's going to be about a 20-something yard. Thompson Fair catches it at the 43. It'll be on their second possession. The Bears will have it in good field position on the north hall side of the 50.
Yeah, that's a pretty good trade out. You had that previous punt for Cherokee Bluff from about your 36, 37-yard line, and now you get the ball at the 43 in your opponent's territory. That's a good trade.
Yeah, you get a 29-yard punt, and he was lucky to get it off. They had a couple of people really coming and putting pressure on the punter.
Oh, they did. Yep. Dylan Haley again in the receiver now. Dylan, KT, Malcolm Millsap, number 17, excuse me, in there. They give off to Griffin. Griffin bounces outside the 40, the 35, the 30, the 25, and knocked out of bounds around the 20-yard line.
Yeah, Charlie Dyer and Wade Haynes combined to push him out of bounds, but that was a similar play to what he scored on a while ago, only to have it.
22-yard run. Looked like it went right off Jordan Maddox, the tackle on this side. Rear end and just bounced outside behind him and Fontenot and got the first down. A 22-yarder, first and 10 down at the 21 for the Bears. 7:18 in the quarter. Bryan takes it, hands off again, this time to number 11. The runner
Perkle.
Jeff Perkle. Perkle's going to run it down inside the 10 to right at the 10 is where they'll mark his knee down at for another first down. Two in a row for Perkle.
Well, he had 62 yards last week in that huge blowout win over Appalachian. Connor Griffin had 53. I think they both may eclipse those numbers tonight if it keeps going the way it's going.
It looks very similar to the Lumpkin County game, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Well, Jackson came in that Lumpkin game and ran the ball pretty effectively in the second half. Bryce takes it, gives off to Perkle. Perkle all the way down, inside the 5, down to the 1. Another first down, or excuse me, that was going to be second down and goal. Walker Davis, one of the safeties, has to come up and stop him, or he'd have been in the end zone and put it back to the back of the nose of it, touching the inside part of the 2-yard line. Second down and goal from there.
Davis at 6'2", 170 there.
Brooks Bryan steps in, 6:25 and a quarter and running. a Triple A matchup, one in Region 8, which is the Bears, and one in Region 6, which is the Trojans. Brian gets the hands off, rolls the other way, gives it to Perkle. Perkle towards the pylon, touchdown, Bears.
Late flag.
Flag coming in late right there to 2.
Late flag.
Might be an illegal block. Let's see what we got. White hat talking to his side judge.
Let's see. He ran across the end zone line, holding the ball out in front of him, make sure he broke the plane while it was still in his possession.
Yep.
But I think you're right, guys. This one may come back, too. Now, that's twice. Mm-hmm. Two scores have been negated by a bluff penalty.
Yep, because that one's going to come back probably 10 yards for an illegal block, probably. Let's see what the call it. Yeah, illegal holding
hold.
On the offense is what they're going to call it. That'll be a 10-yarder.
See, you know, and that really shoots yourself in the foot, mm-hmm. because now it's second and goal from there. You can't get a first down anymore unless you go into the end zone.
You're outside the 10, almost at the 12. Same lineup. One wide out, two wide outs. One's kind of close to the end there. Perkle in the backfield. Going to pitch it to KT. Almost lost it. Goes on the other side. Five. Got tripped up high at the 5 and came down at the 2.
Boy, they had a big defensive lineman. If he had a little bit of peripheral vision that time, he might have picked off that toss in the air because that was dangerous.
Connor Harwood runs up there and tripped him up there at the 5 and knocked KT for a big loop. He went up in the air high, but you're right, Gary, because it was kind of behind him. I noticed he had to grab at it to get it into position, did KT.
That was a good recovery.
KT out of the ball game. Brett Pierce comes in. It looks like he's playing fullback right now.
High formation. Pierce in. Jackson's going to give it to Perkle right up this. Shoot. Touchdown there.
Yeah, this time nothing fancy. Let's don't go to the edge. Let's don't take a chance. Let's just do power football. Shove it right up the middle, right down their throat. 2 yards for Perkle.
Aiden Willis. Pierce opened up the hole. Perkle able to slide in there for the touchdown. 6-0 Bears with 5:25 in the quarter. Kicker Garrett Hyder will attempt the extra point. The left footer will kick it from the 10. The 13, Michael Donatelli, the holder. The swinging gate closes up. The snap is good. The hold is good. The kick is up. And it's good. 7-0 Bears with 5:25 remaining.
And we're back at 1 minute from Cherokee Bluff here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
Hyder gets another little short one. He's caught right there by Luke Jenkins around the 28. He runs it on the far sideline up to about the 40, and that's where North Hall will have it, first and 10 on their next possession, right at the 40-yard line. So they're going to keep it away from the deep guys today, fellas.
Well, they Midland and Lumpkin County game a couple weeks ago, remember?
Yep. Well, they probably saw what Luke and Cole did last week. Cole had a long kickoff return, so they're kicking it short, but Luke brought it out. They're right at the 41 now. Slayman is still in at the backfield. Kemp in motion. Oh, that was Cable, excuse me. That is Smith McGarvey in the game now. My bad. I hand it off to Jenkins, and Jenkins is going to lose yardage. They're going to say he got back to the original line of scrimmage, the 41, or 36, excuse me. The 36 is the line of scrimmage. He got pushed back by a host, including Tony Russian, defensive end on that side, pushed him back for no gain. Second down and 10 for the Trojans. Four wideouts, three on the near side. They're stacking them up. Croft, Adams, McGarvey's the quarterback now. McGarvey back. The left-hander looks. Now he runs to this side, throws it right in the middle. Incomplete, almost intercepted by Landon Kemp. Intended receiver was Jacob Adams that time. Jacob, that was like the Cherokee Bluff ball ago there. Harper, they threw it right there and wrapped it right through his hands.
Yeah, if you're not going to catch a ball, don't tip it up. Yep. That's just an advice to any receiver at any specific time. Just knock it down if you're not going to catch it, because if it gets in the air, it's anybody's ball.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like the play real quick before you. Sorry, Gary.
I like the play call.
It's 7-0, Joe. White County on top of Habersham Central. Down in Atlanta, a lightning delay. Gainesville kicks off at 8:30.
All right. Luke Jenkins in the game for North Hall. McGarvey back. The left-hander rolls out to his right this time. Throws it right there in the middle. Complete, I think, on the sideline right at the 48. It'll be a first down. Completion out to 22, Jacob Adams, for the first down.
That was a pretty good scramble that time by Sleeman to get over there. And
that was McGarvey that time.
McGarvey.
He did a nice job, yeah. Especially going away from, you know, you're going to the right and you're a left-handed passer. So a nice job by McGarvey.
Harper, one of Dave Cohen's favorite stats. Third down conversion.
That's right. That and run the Alamo, just really like the – remember the Alamo, remember the run game, and they've been running the ball pretty well, a little bit better than what they did last week. But play action is going to probably work over the top here for North Hall.
First at the 49, Kemp in motion. McGarvey throws on the far side, in and out of the hands, right on the sideline that time to Jacob Adams.
Adams again. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've all been catchable balls, too, both these quarterbacks. Guess they're just trying to change their luck on this particular drive.
Well, they've been trying to run it and hadn't had a lot of success, so might as well throw the ball a while and see what happens.
You said, you got a couple of receivers that went like close to 100 yards or better last week. You got a couple of quarterbacks who both passed for over 100 yards, so why not?
Kemp and Croft on the near side for the Trojans. Luke Jenkins in the backfield. McGarvey back to pass. Looking, got time this time. Throws it over the top, got a man. Incomplete. Good job by the defender as he had it in his hand there for a second. And that was number 8, I believe. Cole Cable was receiver. And number 8, the defensive back, I think, brought him down, Dylan Haley.
It was Landon Kemp.
Yep.
Right. He hit him just that was perfectly played by Kemp, too. He hit him exactly the time the ball got there, and he hit him right on the ball and stripped it away. No reception.
That would have been a good 20-yard gain down to the 30, but instead it's third down and 10. From their own 49-yard line, the Trojans with two wideouts, both on the three wideouts, all three on the near side. Ball on the far hash mark. McGarvey takes it, looks back, got one-man pressure, rolls out to his right, looking, throws it deep, got a man over the middle. He complete, down to 3. Kemp has it, gets a 20, down inside the 20, and he's knocked down finally at about the 15-yard line?
Yes. Yep, Caden Thompson shoved him down and saved the touchdown.
Down to the 15. He was wide open right there in the middle that time. Harper, looked like to me, Ty Kemp got open right there, and a good throw by Smith McGarvey going to his right with the left hand.
Yeah, Smith did a great job avoiding the blitz from the outside. He had to escape to his right and as a lefty, so you're throwing really off your bad shoulder. So for him to square his shoulders up and get it down the field like he did, that was a big league throw.
First down and 10, balls at the 16-yard line. Three wideouts, two on the near side. McGarvey still in. He'll run it this time. He gets by one guy. Another guy. 5. Touchdown, Trojans. How about that?
That was a tough run right there, brother.
He had 3 guys hit him on that far side. Tony Rushing. Connor Griffin
Kemp.
Hit him over there and finally
Kemp.
Got in there. Wow. McGarvey said, I'm going to take this one to the house, and he did.
Yeah, that RPO work to his favor. He's a big guy, and he runs really high. He doesn't get low when he runs, but he was able to keep his knees up high enough to where he gets people like Landon Kemp that bounce right off him at the 12, the 15, and then when he gets inside the 10, full head of steam, and he's able to get across the goal line for the tying up score if they get the key PAT.
Late Carmona with the extra point attempt. It is good. We're tied at 7 with 3:34 left in the first.
And we're back in 1 minute from Cherokee Bluff on 97.5 Glory FM.
This is Representative Lee Hawkins, your representative to the state legislature. I want to wish all the local athletes in our area the very best this season. Your team is very important to the success of our community, and I look forward to seeing you play this year and to see what you accomplish in the classrooms and in the community. I also look forward to serving you and your family in the state legislature. This message paid for by the committee to re-elect Lee Hawkins.
Thank you, North Hall.
This is Chris Kinsey with Millie's Drapery and Decorating, and we would like to thank the North Hall community for their continued support. Since 1968, my family has provided the area with beautiful custom drapery, bedding, upholstery, blinds, shades, and more. If you would like some help with your interior design project, give us a call and we'll schedule one of our talented designers to give you an in-home consultation and estimate for your project. Call us at 770-532-3819.
Keep up in North Hall. Same score, Joe, up in Mount Airy. It's now White County 7, Habersham Central 7.
Blake Carmona will kick off with the Trojans. You got Kemp and Perkle back deep. Good high end-over-end kick. Kemp will take it at the 5, to the 10, the 15. Got a block to the 20. And man grabbed his feet. He kind of got away from him. He got hit. Oh, and then he got smacked really hard at the 22. Was that number 17 that hit him hard right there?
Looks so like Walker Davis.
Walker Davis came out of there on the far side. He was breaking loose from one guy, and he was up high, and that's where Walker hit him right there in the middle.
Nice form tackle. Wrapped him up, took him to the turf.
Walker hit him in such a manner that it made it look, Gary, like he got hurt a little bit too on that one. That was a little bit of pain on both sides.
That can happen.
Ball's at the 23-and-a-half, or right at the 23s where they'll mark it on the near hash mark. Big center Eli Hamm comes up, gets down over it. Brooks Bryan is the quarterback. Jackson Perkle is the running back. Three wideouts. One in motion this time. Got a motion penalty. No offsides on the Trojans is what it'll be.
Yeah, it'll be Hunter Robinson, outside linebacker.
Gotcha.
He's a junior. He went on one. From the defensive side when the play call was on two.
Yep. Yep. They got big Charlie House in the middle right there. Yep. Charlie, 5'10", 230, wears number zero. You know, you got to be pretty good if you're going to wear a zero.
Exactly. So you got Malcolm Millsap on the near side of receiver. KT Thompson out wide to the far side. You got number three. Looks like Muir's in the game. You got to give off to Perkle. Perkle tries to go up the middle. A helmet came off. North Hall player will have to go out. That's number 35. Perkle gets about two more yards, first or second down now, and about one. That Parker Carlton made the tackle. Number 35, Tanner White is who his helmet came off. They're going to let him stay in the game, though. He got it back on. Usually when it came off, I thought they had to go out for it.
Perkle lifted it at 5'9", 170. Carlton at 5'10", 180.
Millsap and Thompson, new wideouts. Thompson on the far side, ball in the near hash mark. The 47, Caleb Cooper in the slot. Back to pass is Bryan. Bryan looking well with the top. He's got a man open. Millsap overthrows him by 2 yards. He was open, but he overthrew him. He was about the 30, and the ball landed out the 28 that time.
Yeah, he had it on a go route, just right down the field, and just overthrew him. Wasn't Walker, quite fast enough to catch up to that ball.
Like Walker Davis and maybe Wade Haynes might back there playing defense, but Malcolm had outraced both of them.
Well, good pressure there from the right side, the left side of the Trojan defense, to force Bryan to throw a little bit earlier than what he probably would have wanted to. He'd like to have that ball back because that would have been a touchdown were it complete.
Give off to Perkle. Perkle trying to get around him. One man from behind grabbed him by his jersey. Was that big number 55? I believe it was.
Yeah, Hunter Robertson. He grabbed him by the jersey and just slung him down.
And they slung him forward enough to get the first down, it looks like. He'll be down to the 35, 34, 35. It'll be a first down for the Bears. 2:58 remaining here in the first quarter. We are all tied at 7. Haley on this side as a wideout. KT on the far side along with Landon Kemp. Caleb Cooper at kind of a tight end position, slot position. Bryce gets it, throws over the far side to Kemp. Kemp trying to beat a man. Can't get around that defensive end on that far side, so he only gets maybe a yard on it.
Boy, he was swamped after that. About four of the white shirts came in as he was already being spun to the turf.
Wade Hayes, one of the defensive backs, comes up and makes the play, one of the safeties right there.
Yeah, he read that right from the get-go. That was a giveaway right there. That formation is one that if you're going to throw anything out of that, it's going to be just a quick little jet screen or a bubble screen out to that side. He read it well. 2-yard pickup.
Second down and 8. Ball is placed on the 36-yard line. Three wideouts for the Bears. Haley Kemp on the near side. Give off to Perkle again. Perkle with a hole. Down to the 40. Got hit the 45. The 50. The 45 has to be drugged down from behind by number 11, Charlie Dyer. He makes it all the way down to the 38.
Yeah, Parker Carlton hit him, and he bounced off of him like a pinball and just spun, kept going.
19-yard pickup for Jackson Perkle.
Boy, you don't see that very often with that kind of a lick. He just spun away and kept on going like he didn't even get hit.
Jackson, now, let me just say, add this in there, guys. He's running like a senior. He's a sophomore. That kid's running it hard for the Bears. Now you got Connor Griffin back in the game at the running back. You got four wideouts, two stacked on top of each other. They'll move in a little closer. That's KT and Malcolm on the near side. Ball's right in the middle of the field almost. Bryce rolls out to the near side being chased. Throws it over the top to Malcolm. Incomplete as two North Hall players get tangled and fall down. That is Hayes and Davis. Second down now. We are right at a minute, 69 seconds left here in the first quarter. Nathan, let's go and give you a studio timeout real quick. Session ID.
97.5 Glory FM is WGTJ Murrayville Gainesville and W248DL Murrayville Gainesville.
Here we come back. 109 in the quarter, 69 seconds, three wideouts. Brooks Bryan out wide this time. KT in the Wildcat. Gets the snap. Going to run it around the near side to the 40, the 45. Steps with Queenie. Guy got hit hard all the way down to about the 29-yard line. Short of the first down, but they get about nine out of it, and the referees are stopping it right there.
Different look for that. For the Wildcat direct snap, the Tanner White's helmet came off. Yep. He's got to go out.
Has to come out again. Tanner's out, and is that big 55 coming in? Hunter Robertson coming in the game.
Yep.
So the Wildcat gets them down to the, gets them 9 yards. It's third down and one now. Down at the 29-yard line. Brooks Bryan back in the game at the quarterback. Caleb Cooper is kind of in a slot, almost a tight end position. Bryan's going to go up under center with one running back, that's Griffin. Now he's going to move some guys around, goes for the first down and gets it. Nice little quarterback sneak.
Nope.
He gets about two.
That's coming back. Yeah. Little tight end and a wing line next to him. They were both, it went in motion. They didn't get set. And Brooks Bryan should know better.
Yep, illegal shift. So that'll back it up 5 yards, make it a little bit more difficult. It'll be third down and six now.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a huge call there.
It is. When third and one.
And you got it.
Yep.
You got the first down, and now you're back. Now you're 6 yards away from it.
Mm-hmm.
No guarantees there.
Well, and also, Gary, when you think about O'Brien's been pretty accurate with the early passes that he had this quarter, but now he's missed high on the last couple, and he doesn't have any completions.
Ball's to 34, 31 seconds remaining here in the quarter. Tied at 7. Trojans and the Bears from Yona Field. Third down, about 6 to go. Brooks Bryan puts KT in motion. 19 seconds, back to Bryan. Bryan looks to pass, throws it complete over here to Haney. Haney gets it down, got the first down, down to the 25, just inside the 25-yard line for the first down. 9-yard pickup.
Yeah, Connor Harwood at 5'8", that was a little bit of a mismatch.
Dylan Haley gets the first down.
And that's going to be the last play of the quarter, I believe, man.
That'll be run. They're going to run it down, 6-5, 4-3, 2-1. Tied at 7 after 1, the Bears and the Trojans.
And we're back with the second quarter in 1 minute on 97.5 Glory FM.
Your home is part of you, and keeping it comfortable and well-maintained is essential. Conditioned Air Systems is North Georgia's solution for residential heating, air, and plumbing services. For more than 40 years, our family has been committed to delivering the highest quality service by our certified technicians and plumbers. Experience the difference today when you choose Conditioned Air Systems for your home's heating, air, and plumbing needs. Quality you can feel, service you can trust. Visit conditionedairsystems.com to schedule an appointment.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
Get ready to start the second quarter, guys. What did you learn that first quarter?
That, you know, I was surprised that North Hall came out running the ball like they did the first two possessions. I thought they might mix a little more passion in there, and then they went to the pass and opened things up a little bit more. What do you think, Air Harper?
Cherokee Bluff has been pretty stout in running the ball here today, and I think they're going to take advantage of trying to make it bounce to the outside, make it look like it's going in the middle, change directions. Both of their running backs, Perkle and Griffin, have bounced to the outside much better than what we saw just a couple of weeks ago.
Griffin behind Brian. He gets the pitch. Brian comes off the left side, tries to get around the guy. One guy had him wrapped up and lost him. And then clock's going to continue to run. It's going to be about a four-yard pickup, almost five, second down. Look like number five for the Trojans came in there, Connor Harwood.
Yeah, he's 5'8". Looks like he may be about a buck 40.
I was a buck 40 in the fifth grade, and then I grew up.
I'm not sure I was ever a buck 40.
Second down, 6 yards to go. Ball spotted right on the 20-yard line near hash mark. Connor Griffin in the backfield behind Brian. Two wideouts. Haley and Millsap give it to Griffin going the other way. Got by a guy that ran past him, and then two or three Trojans knocked him down on the far side. Charlie Dyer, defensive back, finally had to corral him and drag him down, but he got a first down inside the 15 down to the 13, a 7-yard pickup for the Bears. 11-11 here in the second quarter. Game tied at 7, but the Bears are trying to march it in.
Well, you know, one of the motto for the North Hall team this year is effort and attitude and toughness. Well, right now, Cherokee Bluff's showing a little bit of toughness
here, aren't they?
They're kind of sticking it down their throat.
Brooks Bryan in the gun, two wideouts. Connor in the backfield, looking to pass, throws it over the top. No, throws it outside. That time, looked like the Haley wanted to come back and get it, and he threw it way upfield past him. That was interesting.
I think it came out of his hand funny, Joe. It had a flutter to it.
May not have been ready. That from the burial grounds, it is. You find it again. 7-7, Lumpkin County and Hart County.
Well, it is
that matchup.
It is really muggy down here on the field. The ball might have a little bit of moisture on it left over from that earlier torrential downpour. But the field right now, I mean, it drains really well. There are no wet spots on the field that I can see.
Griffin right behind his quarterback, Brian. Brian takes it, keeps it himself, trying to get around the guy.
Flag.
Wrapped up by several white jerseys. Walker Davis, one of the guys to finally finish, is going to be against Cherokee Bluff. It'll be a flag, and it's going to be illegal procedure on the Bears, and that'll push them back. Still be second down, but it'll be second down and probably 15 now.
I don't think that was the most well-designed play that they've run here this evening. A lot of things went wrong, including the penalty. I think you're almost glad you take the penalty, but
it was declined.
It was declined.
Well, I thought they might because they lost yardage, and if you move it back, maybe you gain a yard in the loss, but you also lose a down.
Yeah, but you lose three on the net here and the down, so it'll be balls at the 16.
Second and 13, and get a first down to three. They're going to blow the whistle again. I didn't hear it immediately, but they called it.
Is timeout? North Hall calling time?
The far line judge came in, waved it off first. And not sure what we've got. I never saw a flag pop out. So I don't know.
Official time.
Timeout.
Yep.
Oh, maybe they're trying to get the sign. I don't know what's going on.
Trying to get the
game clock
down box or the game.
Everything. Well, they're trying to get it lined up right. I thought they might take the play to lose the down. See, that's what it was. See, it should have been third down.
Okay.
That's what it was. I was in my head. I was going, well, wait a minute now. Wasn't it second down already? And they take the play. It should be third, and that's what it is.
Third down, 13. Bryce takes it, looking, throws it over the top of Caleb Cooper's head, incomplete. Gentlemen, Commerce is in danger. They're down 14-7 down at Luella in the first quarter. That would make them 0-3 for the first time in a very long time. Jefferson up on top of Clark Central, 10-7 early on.
Now, there's something you probably never thought you'd hear very much back in the day, back in the old days when Jefferson was, what, Class A or AA, and Clark Central was AAA and one of the biggest schools in the state. Going for a field goal.
Garrett Hyder will be spotted at the 23, so a 33-yard attempt. The left footer hits it long enough. It's up, and it is good. 10-7 now with 10:08 in the quarter. The Bears lead it.
That could be a very important kick. We're back in 1 minute from Cherokee Bluff here on 97.5 Glory FM.
At Jackson EMC, we embrace innovation. the new ideas in our industry that lead to better use of resources and improved ways of conducting business.
To be an innovative cooperative, I believe we always have to be looking at how we are handling our member experience.
Innovation is really important to Jackson MC. It's our role to really make sure we're on the cutting edge of these new changes in technology that are coming to the power sector.
Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
And back here at Cherokee Bluff, Bears winning by three. That's what North Hall lost by, Joe, last week by three.
Yeah, that could be an important field goal right there. 33-yarder, Hyder kicks it long and deep. Cable just going to watch it float over his head into the end zone. That'll be a touchback, and the ball will come out to the 20. A couple of quick scores for you. I'll start from the bottom of my list up and see how bad they mess it up for me. You've got find some games, Cherokee. Where I'm from, Cherokee County, the Warriors over Pope, 10-0. Athens Spartans over Shaw out of Columbus, 7-0. Looking for some more, I say a bunch of zeros. North Hall will bring it up. Jefferson 17-7 over Clark Central now.
Hyder was a little pumped up, don't you think?
I believe he was.
He got that field goal.
Jackson County, Tequila tied. Smith McCarvey is the quarterback. The left-hander stands in there. Back there with him is R.J. Dalton. Runs it to this side. The quarterback, the 20, the 25, the 30. A flag in the back in the backfield. McGarvey's run out of bounds at the 32. But I believe that was going to come back.
Colin Myers pushed him out.
You know,
McGarvey is the older and bigger of the two quarterbacks. Harper mentioned his size. Let's see. He's listed at about 6'2", 185. Schliemann, 5'11", 175. So McGarvey with a few inches and about 10 pounds.
Well, Gary, also remember, McGarvey will be a pitcher for the North Hall baseball team in 2025.
A holding on the Trojans. Well, line as they tried to pull out there. It'll be first down and 20 now. Ball's at the 10. Got to get to the 30.
I don't think that was an RPO. I think that was a purely designed quarterback run all the way.
Yeah, he gave the handoff fake to try to suck the linebackers up, but then sprinted out to his right-hand side and got to the edge. Did a great job, but somebody had a little bit too much of a jersey.
McGarvey back to pass. The left-hander has to step in the middle, being pressured, and throws it in the ground. Over there, his intended receiver was Ty Kemp. He threw it in the ground behind him. It'll be second down and 20 now.
And by the way, those of you who are new to football, the RPO is run pass option.
Luella over Commerce. West Hall 10-0 over Chesterfield after one, thanks to Ron Poole giving us that score here. Washington Wilkes losing to Oglethorpe County 9-7. East Jackson over Dawson County 21-3.
Ron Poole, by the way, of the newly retired.
Newly retired Pools. R.J. Dalton in the backfield.
I think his last day of work was yesterday.
Yes, that is correct.
Good for Ron.
Yay, Ron. Congratulations.
Enjoy that retirement, buddy.
Enjoy those grandchildren. Gear.
Now we've got a timeout called by the Trojans, I believe. Yes, Trojans will take a timeout with 9:51.
We'll take it with them. We're back in 1 minute from Cherokee Bluff here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Back to school shouldn't mean back to the doctor. Make sure you go to Riverside Pharmacy for all of your health needs. They have everything from hand sanitizers to all of the vitamins you'll need. But if your child does get sick, then the expert pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy can get your family back to school by filling all of your prescriptions. They'll even deliver them in the Gainesville area. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
McGarvey's in the quarterback. The one back there with him, he's going to pitch it back over here to that's Cole Cable. Cole gets around the guy, out to the 20, still running out to about the 28-yard line, so he got a chunk of it back, but did not get the first down. But Cole got away from a guy on the end as he broke it to this near side, broke it around the 15 or 18-yard line, and got it up to the 28-yard line. It'll be third down and two now.
A little bit of an end around there, huh?
Yep.
Third
down and two for the
Trojans. Real nice play design, and then you got a guy that was so difficult last week at Wesleyan to tackle and bring down. He had a couple receiving touchdowns. You want to put the ball in your players' hands, and they did there with Cole Gable. He made it real manageable, third and two.
Cable and Kemp wide on this side. McGarvey gets it, hands off to his running back, right in the middle, got the first down. That's number 12, I believe, that time. Yeah, Parker Carlton. Parker, who wasn't listed on offense, but that's where Gary and I and Mike saw him last year. He picks up a big first down with a 12-yard run, basically right up the hash mark on this side, Gary.
Well, Tony Rushen, number 9, the 5'11", 190-pound sophomore, had a hold of the bottom of his jersey and was being taken on a Nantucket sleigh ride until somebody of these other teammates came and knocked him down. He was not letting go.
I ain't been on a sleigh ride like that. McGarvey going to hand it off again, goes over the far side, going to get maybe one or two out of it on the far side. Carlton takes it again.
I haven't been to Nantucket, so that's makes it even more
interesting.
Look, here's a bigger body guy, Parker is, and one of the things, he's a linebacker too, so you know he's just going to run, and I'm looking for contact, right? Mm-hmm. And he did. He made contact. He spins off it. He gets about 12 yards on that to get the first down and breathe new life into the Trojan offense.
Only got a yard that time, though.
Jenkins over to the right of his quarterback, McGarvey. Three wide outs on the far side. Ball just inside the near hash mark. McGarvey looks. Screen on the far side. They read it perfectly and tackle him down around the 36. Cole Cable caught it. And was that Landon Kemp? Tyler Underwood?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Tyler's the one that made that expression that basically, I just did something really cool.
Exactly.
I got both my fists clenched together. Let me tell you something, brother.
They got the lost three on the play. It's third down and 13. Ball's at the 37. Got to get right at the midfield stripe. 7:35 and a quarter. Bears lead it 10-7. North Hall splits out. Four sends one from the far side to the near side. That's going to be Kemp. Going to hand it to number two going the other direction. That's Jenkins trying to get a couple of yards. He's not going to get anything well pursued that time by the big purple Bears. KT Thompson in there, Colin Muir's in there, I believe.
Yeah, and they were grabbing at him in the backfield, slowing him down, Joe, till the rest of the team could catch up to him.
Yeah, Haley was the first one to get him behind the line of scrimmage right after that little reverse. A lot of trickeration, I think you would call it here, right?
Mike had to
call RPO, so trickeration means you're going to have a change of direction. You're going to do something that kind of fakes everybody out. Everybody's going to be looking to the right, and then you slip it into the left-hand side. But they're definitely in punt formation right now.
Wyatt tumbling back to kick it. KT Thompson back to catch it. Now score update after the punt. Wyatt's going to kick it. Had plenty of time. Going to land right at the 39 of the purple team. Going to roll out at the 36-yard line. No return on that. East Hall over Johnson, Mike, 28-0 in the second quarter.
It's a 26-yard punt, Joe.
Yeah, 26, all right. So the Bears will take it again. 7:09 in the quarter. Ball's at the 36-yard line of Cherokee Bluff. We will have Landon Kemp in the game, KT Thompson in the game, Malcolm Millsap in the game. Brooks Bryan's your quarterback, excuse me. Caleb Cooper in a slot position. Running back is Griffin. Three wideouts. A tight end. Bryce Fontenot in the game. Going to pitch it this time to man in motion. That was Kemp. And he got knocked down a yard shy, number 34, I think it was that time. Matthew Arceo, one of the defensive ends, comes in and makes the tackle.
He had a pretty big game last week, too, Arceo did in the Wesley game.
Now, Arceo last week had five tackles, one solo, a loss on the field of about 2 yards, knocked it back to the 39, second down and 12.
34, Joe,
34. Would I say 39? 34-yard line. Puts a man in motion. That's going to be Griffin rolls out the far side. Bryce does, throws it. KT caught it at the 36, to the 50, the 40. One man got to catch him on the far side. They won't. And he kind of flossed it going in and gets in for the touchdown. He kind of slowed down and was backpedaling almost a 66-yard touchdown run for KT Thompson after the catch.
You wondered when that was going to happen.
Yeah, broke him loose out there. Great play by KT to get open. And then as he got open, he just outran the defensive back for the Trojans.
Brooks Bryan avoided a rush and had to think for a second. He had to look for him, and KT hadn't sat down over the middle of the ball yet of the field. And right about where the center is, about 8 yards down the field, and just want to camp there, find that hole in between linebackers. And once Bryan sees him, KT's off to the races. He broke one tackle at about the 45, and the rest of it was all him and his legs.
Hyder kicks up, and it is good. 17-7 with 6:19 left until halftime.
And we got more in 1 minute here from Cherokee Up on 97.5 Glory FM.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
Two score lead now for the Bears here in the second quarter.
Hyder kicks it. Carlton's going to pick it up around the 12-yard line. He keeps going, keeps pushing out past right at the 30-yard line. 31 is where they're going to give him credit to. So about a 17 maybe yard return for Parker Carlton on the upbacks. Deep man was number one, Cole Cable. But Hyder with another good kick. North Hall will take over first and 10 from their own 30, almost 31-yard line. 6:11 left here in the first half. Cherokee Bluff with a 17-7 lead. McGarvey in the backfield. One man to his right. That's Luke Jenkins. Four wideouts. Claps his hand, gets it, throws it over to this side. Caught right there by number three, Kemp. Kemp dancing around. He's going to be knocked down from behind by two guys. Big number 66, Ben Craig, a one-yard pickup.
Landon Kemp loss, also.
1 yard loss, okay. Landon Kemp came up there and helped Ben Craig on that one.
Yeah, it was interesting. Ty Kemp catches the ball, and he's got a little bit of space in between him and the closest defender. And he kind of bounced around a little bit before he decided, all right, I think I'm going to try to go to the inside. He was right about where the hash marks were and wasn't able to fool anybody as Landon Kemp ends up knocking him down for – well, they gave him forward progress, so he got back to the line of scrimmage, second and 10.
Second down and 10, four wideouts. One man in motion, that is Kemp. He'll go back to the other side now. Bryce are going to give it off to Jenkins. Jenkins being brought down from behind in the backfield. Was that big number 43?
It is.
Yes, it was. 43.
Brett Pierce.
Brett Pierce. One of the linebackers came in there and grabbed him and did not let go and slung him back to the 25-yard line. 5 yard loss, third and 15 for the Trojans.
Brett, you did a great job, but now come out of the ball game.
Bear defense is really playing lights out.
That's
right
exactly
now.
What I was thinking there, Gary. I'm going to make a comment. The Bears are playing great defense right now. 448, loss of 6 on the play, third down.
I think the two longest runs they gave up were the one right after the kickoff, mm-hmm. and they got that first down, and then the touchdown. That's the two longest runs they've given up tonight.
Back to passes, McGarvey. He throws a long one. He got Cable out here. Incomplete. And it won't be catchable as Cable runs into the back of Landon Kemp, but it's an uncatchable ball, so there's no interference right there.
Boy, but pretty smart play by Cable. He's wearing number one, and so is the defender, Landon Kemp. And Cable, on purpose, runs into Kemp and forces himself to get knocked down And even though it's an uncatchable ball, you might get a yellow flag on that.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
well,
pretty,
if the ball's
pretty savvy
a little closer,
play.
You may get it. Exactly.
Yep.
Well, these are two well-coached teams. They're very savvy. They're smart. They know the game.
Back up. All right, back to kick this time. Is that the number 88, Dawson Gray, to kick, Dexter? Yeah, Dawson Gray is going to be punting this time. KT Thompson back standing in his own 40. Gray takes it. Got the kick. No, it's blocked down there. Who was that man? Landon Kemp got in there and blocked it off. Who's going rolling down into the 39 of North Hall? Number 9 falls on the football. Tony Rushen. A block by Landon Kemp. And Tony Rushen falls on it. What a big play for the Bears.
Wow, now that was a fortunate roll for North Hall.
Yep.
Normally you get it blocked. You got it right there.
Yep.
Bears take over. First down and 10.
They end up netting about 8 yards. Now about closer to 12 is where they mark it at the 40-yard line, but
you know, I was talking about the line early in the game. Well, the defensive line for Cherokee Bluff is making everybody earn it tonight, aren't they?
Yeah, they got about a 20-yard roll-up.
Yep.
Well, again, you mentioned the coaching there, Gary. That real good coaching. You know, this guy's a little bit slower. He catches the ball. He only takes 2 steps, but he's slow kicking it, and they took advantage of it.
Rice, oh, he's here. He's on time. He throws it. It's going to be incomplete. Big number 12 comes in there, knocks it. Parker Carlton, middle linebacker, comes in and knocks him down.
We've called Parker's name here a couple times tonight. He used a blitz from the outside, and Brooks Bryan did not see him.
Oh, Brooks dropped back to pass, and Parker was on him about as quick as a flea on a hound.
Carlton had 10 tackles total last week in the loss to Wesleyan, so he's a very active young man on defense.
Yeah, good looking ball player.
That was purely an incomplete pass, arm in motion.
Millsap out to the far side, only wide out this time. Griffin in behind his quarterback. Going to hand off. No, he's going to keep. Going to keep it to Griffin. Griffin's going to take it. He's running over people all the way down inside the 30, down to the 29.
You know, that's right there. That's balance right there. Yep. He stumbled for another 8 yards, but got did that, not go down.
That initial hit right there, he stayed up, kind of bent over, and got hit there again and stumbled, as Gary said, for about 8 yards all the way down to the 29-yard line, first and 10. Lakeview over Towns County, 21-0 in the second quarter. Thanks to our buddy, nearly retired Ron Poole, for sending me some scores.
Senior Caleb Cooper coming. He's in the ball game now at tight end.
And they're going to flip side. They're going to have a timeout this time by Cherokee Bluff with 3:45 left in the quarter.
We'll take it with them with a score of 17-7 Bears. Back in 1 minute on 97.5 Glory FM.
This is Representative Lee Hawkins, your representative to the state legislature. I want to wish all the local athletes in our area the very best this season. Your team is very important to the success of our community, and I look forward to seeing you play this year and to see what you accomplish in the classrooms and in the community. I also look forward to serving you and your family in the state legislature. This message paid for by the committee to re-elect Lee Hawkins.
Thank you, North Hall. This is Chris Kinsey with Millie's Drapery and Decorating, and we would like to thank the North Hall community for their continued support. Since 1968, my family has provided the area with beautiful custom drapery, bedding, upholstery, blinds, shades, and more. If you would like some help with your interior design project, give us a call and we'll schedule one of our talented designers to give you an in-home consultation and estimate for your project. Call us at 770-532-3819.
After the timeout, first down and 10 for the Bears. Are threatening again here, Harper, trying to stick another touchdown on the board here before the halftime. And they get the ball coming out after the half.
Well, I think they heard you, Joe, at the beginning of the show saying, you know, the last 4 games that they played have been a total of 14 points. They want to.
Griffin gets it, breaks off the far side, goes between the guard and a tackle, down across the 25, down to about the 23.
Yeah, finally, he's wrestled to the ground over there by one of the North Hall defenders, number 17, Walker Davis.
Got 6 out of it. Second down and 4, 3:26 in the quarter.
You know, the Bears are averaging, I mean, I know we're going to play 2 games, but they're averaging 40 points a game.
Yep. It's early and on, but I tell you what, their offense is clicking right now. 17-7. Mike and Harper will join you at halftime. We'll give you some scores right after we come back. The flip-flop, one wide out to the near side. Going to give off to number 24. Griffin to the 10, inside the 10 to the 8. Wow.
It's the little things that make a good run.
It's about a 15-yard pickup right there for Connor Griffin. A big hole right there between Aiden Willis, Grant McElroy, and Ben Craig. on the left side to get the first down.
He started to go wide, and then he saw that crack open up, that little seam right there between those guys that you just mentioned, Joe. That crack, and then he took it for 15. Now you got first and goal.
Smarts and quickness. It's hard to beat those two combinations, that's for sure.
Well, he also had patience.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? He waited for his guys to get in front of him. He set the outside linebacker up, and he goes inside him, like Gary mentioned. Next thing you know, it's first and goal.
Brooks Bryan lines up. Got Griffin behind him. Going to hand off to Griffin again. Almost the same play. Griffin gets away from a man. Touchdown, Bears!
Pushed his own man out of the way at the last.
Yep, right there at the last. Looked like a couple of white jerseys had him wrapped up. But he fought through that and got the touchdown. He's 23-7 Bears right now.
His nickname's going to be Copperhead because he slid from one side going to the right, plants that right foot, and just took with one step. He went 8 yards in the other direction to his left, and next thing you know, he's at the goal line. He gets hit right there and falls forward for the touchdown.
Garrett Hyder with his holder. Logan Wynn, left footer as the gate closes on the swinging gate for the extra point. Wynn rubs his hands on his towel. High snap, the kick is up, and it is good. 24-7 with 2:30 remaining here in the second quarter.
And Joe, they could get the ball back before the end of the first half. They get the ball to start the second half. We're back in 1 minute from Cherokee Bluff on 97.5 Glory FM.
On-time service and experience matter for your home's heating and air system. For more than 40 years, Conditioned Air Systems has been North Georgia's solution for residential HVAC installation, maintenance, and repair. Family-owned and operated, we deliver the highest quality service on any brand and model with no hidden fees, promising 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Comfort you can feel, quality you can trust. Visit ConditionedAirSystems.com to schedule an appointment.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
Hyder hits that one. He's going to hit a yard deep in the end zone. We saw he's got a leg on him for sure. A 33-yard field goal and two kicks into the end zone now. So North Hall will have it at their own 20 with 2:28. Now, I think right here, fellas, North Hall just wants to keep ball possession for the next 2:28 and try to score, because if they give Cherokee Bluff a short field.
Oh, yeah, again, you don't want to do that.
Right.
Well, that could be a backbreaker there.
I'm not going to abandon my running game, but I'm going to throw it now. We got to get back into this, and we were good last week at throwing the football, so let's try it again.
Back in the game. Schleyman looking, throws it the last second, complete. Oh, in and out of his hands. The intended receiver was Ty Kemp that time. Threw it a little high for Ty, and it's incomplete at the 30.
Almost all of these balls have been catchable balls. North Hall's got a little case of the drops.
Mm-hmm. 2:22 in the quarter, second down and 10. Balls at the 20, got to get to the 30. We want to keep possession if they can for the rest of this quarter. Try and score, obviously. Four wideouts. Schleyman coming to this side. Throws it complete over here to Cole Cable. Down to about the 26, 27, almost the 28-yard line. Third
shadowed
down, about three.
Shadowed by Dylan Haley.
Get a flag, guys.
Ah, yep, there is a flag back there with North Hall offensive line. Let's see what we got.
I think it might have been a little fisticuffs
after the
completion.
The fact.
Mr. Regan, the man in the white hat, is going to talk.
Caleb Cooper in purple for Cherokee Bluff.
Personal foul against North Hall.
Well, that's a frustration foul right there.
Yeah, that's all that is right there, because it's just on the Trojans. Good thing for the Bears, they did not retaliate, so that's going to push them back half the distance.
In that case, you know, you're up 24-7.
Yeah.
And when somebody takes a poke at you, you put your hands up in the air and back off.
Yep, exactly right.
And they get the other guy. Sometimes they get the guy who retaliates, but if you don't retaliate, then they see the other guy.
The foul happened at the 13, so the ball's going to be down around the 6 or 7. And it'll be second down in a long ways. The first down is at the 30. Ball's around the 7, so it'll be second down in, 10, 23.
You know what the purple is thinking right now, don't you?
Yeah.
We got a chance of putting another score on this board. Exactly. At least three more.
Second down, 23 yards to go for the first down. Four wideouts for the Trojans.
Well, while they get the ball in the right position and get set, if I'm the Trojans right now, if you can get half of it on this play and make it a manageable third down, that's a win.
Schleyman back to throw, looking. Now he's got to run to the 10, the 15, the 20. Runs through between two guys up to around the 19-yard line.
Well,
so
it's
what's that going
to
be? Third and 11.
He got almost half of it back.
Yep. I mean, third down and 11, so he got 12 out of it, I would think.
Yeah, it was pretty good coverage there in the secondary for Cherokee Bluff.
Got up to the 19-yard line.
Schleyman looking downfield, couldn't find anybody open, so he kind of danced near the line of scrimmage, decided to take it, and he gets about eight or nine of them back. So.
Right, and Maddox Satulovic in on the tackle. There's another one for our all-name team.
All-name team. Back to pass, throws it right in the middle. Incomplete.
What a play.
Nice play right there. Kemp on cable right there. Landon knocks it away.
Dylan Haley reached over his back and just slapped it out. No contact from behind. He just put it in. It's almost like anticipating a basketball pass. That was really good. That was slick.
Cable was interested in looking at the official going, hey, wait a second. Official looked at him. Come on now. He didn't touch you. He deflected the ball, my friend.
That was all ball right there, baby.
All right, different punter now.
Just a regular punter back there, I think White tumbling.
On the 19th, your line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. Tumbling back. Takes the snap. Oh, he dropped it.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Safety.
They're going to knock him in the end zone.
No, he dropped the ball. He dropped the ball.
He dropped it at the one.
Oh, my goodness.
He's down at the one. Wow. What a break. For the Bears.
Safety.
Guys, I'm not sure how you give forward progress to a guy that's running backwards.
I don't know either.
I
think.
And then he lost the ball. He wasn't down. There was a Cherokee Bluff player on the ground, and the punter was on top of him, so he's technically not dead. He's not down.
Not down to the ground, right?
Hey, if you want better field position, you have to go somewhere else.
What a turn.
First down and goal at the one with 127. Precise Central on top of Flowery Branch at the half, 3-0.
You know, what we talked about, if you know how you couldn't let happen, happened.
This happened, exactly.
You know, this is the time when a special teams person does get interviewed at the end of a game. You never want that.
Mm-hmm. The snap is right up under center. The ball got dropped right there, but this is going to be about a yard loss.
They tried to sneak
They're trying to run it. The Hamlet came off of somebody right there.
Well,
the ball
came Banks.
Out. It's still going to be Cherokee Bluff football.
Brooks Bryan's helmet came off.
Yep.
Does he have to come out?
Yes.
He's supposed to.
Unless the ball was blown dead, but I think he's got to come out. I think they were still letting him play. And so, he lost half a yard.
Yeah, it was a quarterback keeper, and I think the exchange was a little high. He didn't get it. Helmet comes off because he was down, and then he gets up to try to run again.
Second down, 1-5. Backup quarterback, the junior, Cooper Dean, comes in the game. Cooper's going to be up under center.
He's a big boy now. He's 6'3", 195.
Yes, he is. You got Cooper and Perkle in the backfield. Let's see what happens. Going to hand off to Perkle. Tries to get through. Bounces it off a bunch of guys. I don't think he made it, guys. He's maybe inside the one, and that's it.
Yep. They're saying forward progress was outside the goal line, even though he fell and landed in the end zone.
48 seconds. They may have to call a timeout here.
They're going to. Let me get over here to the sideline.
Yeah, get ready to tell the Papa Bear.
Brooks Bryan does come back in the ballgame.
You got about 3/4 of a yard. It's just inside the one.
Got time for one play. If once they call a timeout, it's 30 seconds exactly. Bryan with Cooper and Connor behind him. One man move. He's pushing the man over. Let's see.
Tried to do the
touchdown.
They call it in there.
Big Bryce. Brooks Bryan slid in there with the push from Caleb Cooper. And the surge from McElroy, Willis, and Carter for the Bears. Touchdown 30-7 with 18.7 seconds left in the second quarter. The Bears with a huge lead.
And again, they'll get the football to start the
second
half.
That's a good point there, Mike. We talked about that with 2-something left. And North Hall wanted to control the ball. That didn't happen. And boom, here they're going to get a 2-for-1 right here before the half possibly for the Bears. We'll close the gate again.
It's the best of all worlds, Joe, because now you haven't got much time on the clock.
Hyder up, and it is good. 31-7. Bears lead at 18.7 seconds.
And we'll keep it right here to end the first half here from Cherokee Bluff.
West Hall 17, Chesterton nothing at the half.
Well, that ball game right there, real quickly, Joe, is that Coach Crawford Montgomery told me they want to get a lead over the War Eagles there because that wing tee offense, as young as they are, is so difficult to come back.
Well, and we saw that with the Chesterton over, was it Franklin County?
Yes.
And they won that opening weekend. They played really well and ran for over, 200 yards, 300 yards. So they're learning, and that's what it takes. Stuart Cunningham doing a good job over Chesterton.
No doubt.
Cherokee Bluff, Hyder's been busy here in the first half, so he'll be out there kicking off again. He'll be over here right there at midfield at the X at the 40. Back deep is going to be number one, Cole Cable. Up backs are going to be Luke Jenkins on this side, Parker Carlton on the far side, big tight end 88. Dawson Gray caught one earlier on a fair catch on the opening kickoff of the game. The kick from Hyder. Little squib kick right down the middle. Hits about the 30. Picked up by Carlton across the 25, the 30, the 35, and run out of bounds on the far side all the way up to about the 35-yard line. That's what they'll have it with 13.8 seconds.
All right, Harper, do you dare take a second knee now? Say we'll regroup at halftime?
Yeah, my guys are starting to be a little chirpy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not liking this position. They're 0-1, and then a half, they got another 24 minutes before they're 0-2, if you know what I mean. We've got to get my guys to start playing a little bit better. But you may have, with the timeouts, you might get three plays. So if you kick a long field goal or something, a guy misses a pass, but it looks like they're going to try Hail Mary.
Slayman over to Kemp. Cable. Cable caught it. His knee was down at the 33 when he caught it. 6.1 and a timeout called.
The ball was underthrown. It hit the ground.
Oh, yeah. If he'd hit him standing up, he probably would have got a good surge. He got 5 or 8 yards right there, but he threw it too low. Timeout, North Hall.
Well, the biggest thing, too, I've noticed here, guys, now since the Bears are taking the lead, they can just send their defense against North Hall.
They can send their defense. They can play Renegade, Wild Man, if you will, and the offense can set into a groove, which they already are, with Purple running the ball like they are.
There's a lot of things you can do with a 24-point lead.
Depending on how well you scouted this team out, you look at North Hall, and I mentioned in the pregame is that they ran a lot of plays to the flats that seemed to work. Well, guess what? Nothing's worked, so they're probably going to go to the flats. And if I'm a DB or a corner and I'm reading that or a safety, I read that correctly, I'm looking at pick six or at least disrupting a big gainer from last week and kind of changing the tone from the defensive standpoint. The offense has already done a lot here in the first half.
Tommy Jones just went out on the field and said, gave him the hand, okay, just everybody play back here.
Well, you're going to rush at least three, I would imagine, and they're showing that. And you're going to drop eight. Don't give up a big play, nothing over your head.
Slayman in the backfield with Jenkins. Cable in motion, going to run that sweep to the far side. Cable. Across the 35, dodged the man to the 40, runs out of bounds on the far side. His time expires. That'll be your halftime score right there. Cherokee Bluff 31, North Hall 7 at the half.
Coach, I don't know that if you had said this to this stadium, I don't know that anybody at the stadium would have said it's going to be 31-7 at half, but things sort of snowballed in your favor.
There's a lot of football to be played left. We had some breaks right there, helped us a little bit.
Hey, get off the field! Get off the field!
About that. I was talking to our guys right there. Just one to hustle off the field right there.
Hurry up, KT!
Yeah, we're fortunate enough to be able to get some first downs and make a couple plays there in some clutch situations. We know we're playing a heck of a football team with some big play capability. It's really 0-0 going into halftime here.
But your defense is playing lights out right now. All of the guys doing the game here tonight commented on that. Your defense is really playing well.
Defense is playing very well. Coach Griffin's done a great job preparing them. We got to stop them for the next 24 minutes.
All right, Coach. Thanks for your time. All right. There you go.
Hey, you can always say it, Papa Bear. Tommy Jones, the head coach for the Cherokee Blood Bears. We're back into this for the
Get off
United
the field,
Community.
Mike. Get off the field.
Thank you. The United Community Halftime Report coming up next on 97.5 Glory FM.
On-time service and experience matter for your home's heating and air system. For more than 40 years, Conditioned Air Systems has been North Georgia's solution for residential HVAC installation, maintenance, and repair. Family-owned and operated, we deliver the highest quality service on any brand and model with no hidden fees, promising 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Comfort you can feel, quality you can trust. Visit ConditionedAirSystems.com to schedule an appointment.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
At Jackson EMC, innovation is an ongoing cycle, a process without a beginning or an end, where one idea leads to the next. Solar power, electric vehicle programs, energy-efficient right choice homes, automated switch technology. What we do as an industry is vital. We keep communities powered, so we must always have an eye on the future. Jackson EMC. Innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top-quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
It's time for our halftime report, brought to you by United Community on 97.5 Glory FM.
And back here at Yona Field at Cherokee Bluff and Fire Branch, Joe Gailey, Gary Glenn, Harper LaBelle, Mike Warford with you here. Halftime, you got to be surprised. Bears on top of the Trojans 31-7, and two things stick out for me. We mentioned it in the pregame show. Mistakes can cost you a game like it did North Hall in that last of that Wesleyan game last week. And also, defense we mentioned, right now, give the advantage to the Bears.
Exactly. The defense for the Bears are playing lights out in my mind. Yep. Got some scores for you at the half here. Precise Central over Flair Branch, 3-0 at the half. East Hall over Johnson at the half, 41-0. Commerce losing to Luella at the half, 14-7. Oglethorpe County over Washington Wills 9-7. Oconee County losing to Morgan County 17-7. Hart County over Lumpkin County at the half 10-7. Madison County over Loganville 21-0. East Jackson over Dawson County 28-3. Wesleyan losing to Elbert County 21-14 at the half. Jackson County and Decatur tied at 21. Jefferson beating Clark Central 20-14 at the half. Fannin County over Union County. When Union County lost their number one quarterback, they were in trouble, and they are. They're down 35-0 to Fannin County in the second quarter. And Cedar Shoals losing to Stevens County 45-3 at the half is what I'm seeing right here, Mike.
Last score we had Lakeview Academy on top of Towns County with the Lions looking to go 3-0.
Yep.
And last night, history was made as Lanier Christian won their first ever game against a Hall County team, the Lightning winning over the Eagles, 27-0 last night.
Yep. So some big scores. You know, Lanier Christian winning their first game ever against a Hall County-based team. So that's big for them last night for sure. But, yeah, Jefferson with the lead at the half. West Hall with the lead at the half. Forsyth Central over Flair Branch. And Lakeview was winning 21-0 over Towns County in the second quarter. East Hall over Johnson at the half.
Also, I think last time I heard Joe, it was 21-7 Habersham Central over White County there up in Mount Airy. We'll try to get that one also for you a little bit later on. Coming up next, we'll bring you our sports update, our minute, and our sports medicine minute with NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine. We're back with more halftime. It is Cherokee Bluff 31, North Hall 7. You're tuned to Friday Night Football in North Georgia on 97.5 Glory FM, online at WGTJRadio.com.
United Community is a bank that asks, when it comes to your finances, how do you define success? Knowing your bank has your financial future right on course? Having a banking partner that's ready with a plan when opportunity knocks? Or maybe it's a digital banking experience that puts everything at your fingertips, even at your daughter's soccer game. However you define success, United Community's trusted bankers are here for you. Success, it takes a community, a united community. Learn more at ucbi.com. Member FDIC.
Back to school shouldn't mean back to the doctor. Make sure you go to Riverside Pharmacy for all of your health needs. They have everything from hand sanitizers to all of the vitamins you'll need. But if your child does get sick, then the expert pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy can get your family back to school by filling all of your prescriptions. They'll even deliver them in the Gainesville area. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
It's time for our sports medicine update from NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine.
We're talking with Dr. Gregory Woods of NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine here on 97.5 Glory FM. We've been talking about the different injuries we'll see in different parts of the body. You mentioned earlier about rotator cuffs. Are we seeing that maybe as a more common injury in young people, sir?
It's actually more common in middle-aged people, and it has to do with typically more involved with a work injury or repetitive use, as well as the fact that over time the blood supply to that portion of the rotator cuff diminishes and makes it easier for it to tear. And so the age group in which we more commonly see rotator cuff tears is anywhere from 35 to 70. As opposed to the really young people. The tendon is very thick and very strong, and so you have to have a pretty severe injury in a really young person to tear that rotator cuff. And sometimes we see it in association when they dislocate their shoulder.
Right, as well as thinking about whether it be soccer to football to baseball, even according to how you're diving for something, and then all of a sudden you end up landing on that shoulder, and as we used to say, pop it out from that standpoint. And you can see the injury from that standpoint. So you say it's a very thick tendon there in your body.
Yes. It's very thick and very strong, and it does a lot of work. You see people lifting large amounts of weight, and but it just takes a lot of force to do it. But we see people do it all the time. You'll see athletes. You see pictures of people lifting weights and disrupt their biceps tendon or their quadriceps tendon trying to max out or doing a sport, and the muscles sometimes are stronger than what the tendon can handle. When that happens, the tendon will tear. And the nice thing is that's a very repairable injury, and we have good ways to do it through an arthroscope where we don't have to open up the shoulder.
That's good because you don't want anything very invasive. Tell me about some of the symptoms you would find with the rotator cuff. I'll tell you, for example, I think I may have a problem with my rotator cuff because of the injury, if we'll call it an injury, pain I feel in my bicep, it might go up to my shoulder.
Yeah, and typical biceps tendonitis type pain can be associated at the same time with the rotator cuff tear. But the rotator cuff usually gets pain on the side of your shoulder. It feels deep when you elevate or raise your arm up to the side. And either rotate it in or back behind your head, that will cause pain. And then we see people that have a tear, they have weakness of rotating their forearm out away from their body, and that's the function of the rotator cuff. And those symptoms, pain and weakness, are what we look at. And the earlier we catch that tear, the easier it is to repair it, because if it stays torn for a long time, number one, the tear can get bigger, and number two, the tear has less good tissue to be able to pull it over and repair it back down where it belongs, because it usually tears coming off of the side of the bone on the humeral head.
Wow. So I may be a patient from that standpoint. Say, for example, I've got an itch in my back, and I use almost like a hammerlock position in wrestling. If I experience pain there in that area, would that be an indication of a torn rotator cuff?
In the back of your shoulder? Or the
Well, just if I'm reaching behind, you know, my back, let's say and all of a sudden you feel that pain there in your, say, upper arm area that you're going with.
Yeah, it could be that, tendonitis, bursitis, or early arthritis, especially in your age group.
Okay, that's good to know. I might be coming by and seeing you sometime soon, Dr. Woods, from that standpoint. We talk with Gregory Woods, one of the doctors at NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine, because when we think about sports injuries, anyone can really suffer a quote-unquote sports injury and not be out there in athletics.
That's true. We saw sports medicine training helps us treat all kinds of injuries that don't have sports as an origin. And they can be work injuries where somebody's fallen, tripped, twisted their knee, or had a car wreck. Some of the worst knee injuries where we have multiple ligaments torn, I see, are ones that are from car wrecks where we got to go back and reconstruct them. And the trauma guys that fix all the bones when they're initially injured don't usually do the reconstruction. They usually send it to us to do the multiple ligament reconstruction.
Again, thank you so much for your time and sharing some great information for us. We're here at 97.5 Glory FM. Tell everybody how to get in touch with you.
You can find us on the internet at NGPG Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, and click on that page, and you'll be able to get to our provider list. We have a number of good doctors there, and because I'm a Woods, I'm usually at the bottom of the list alphabetically, and you can find me down there.
All right, thanks again. We got much more for you coming up next here on 97.5 Glory FM.
United Community is a bank that asks, when it comes to your finances, how do you define success? Knowing your bank has your financial future right on course? Having a banking partner that's ready with a plan when opportunity knocks? Or maybe it's a digital banking experience that puts everything at your fingertips, even at your daughter's soccer game. However you define success, United Community's trusted bankers are here for you. Success, it takes a community, a united community. Learn more at ucbi.com. Member FDIC.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
This is Representative Lee Hawkins, your representative to the state legislature. I want to wish all the local athletes in our area the very best this season. Your team is very important to the success of our community, and I look forward to seeing you play this year and to see what you accomplish in the classrooms and in the community. I also look forward to serving you and your family in the state legislature. This message paid for by the committee to re-elect Lee Hawkins.
Thank you, North Hall. This is Chris Kinsey with Millie's Drapery and Decorating, and we would like to thank the North Hall community for their continued support. Since 1968, my family has provided the area with beautiful custom drapery, bedding, upholstery, blinds, shades, and more. If you would like some help with your interior design project, give us a call and we'll schedule one of our talented designers to give you an in-home consultation and estimate for your project. Call us at 770-532-3819.
97.5 Glory FM is WDTJ Murrayville Gainesville and W248DL Murrayville Gainesville.
Now, more of the United Community Halftime Report on 97.5 Glory FM.
North Hall. Joe Gailey, Harper Obell, Mike Warford with you here at halftime. And Harper, you had a good look at this first half of play and just seen what Cherokee Bluffs done well and what North Hall's done bad.
Well, coming into this ball game, if I'm Tommy Jones, I'm just not sure if I've got a lineup and a team that might end up winning the region because of the victory. You know, the Lumpkin County win was a surprise to me. I don't think anybody was saying, oh, we're going to beat those guys, and then we're going to go to Appalachia, and we're going to dominate there. Let's see how we do against these rivals that we have from up north in North Hall. And I've been so impressed with where they have. Third time's a charm. If the score is anywhere close to this at the end of the ball game, if I'm Tommy Jones, I'm feeling really good about my team, very confident, and going into region play, which is in just a couple of weeks, I think I've got a chance.
And they close out the non-region portion of the schedule next week at Habersham Central, a winnable ball game.
Absolutely. Joe, your thought.
I was going to say that, you know, one thing that we haven't mentioned, we talked about the RPS, PRS, the power rating systems. And that could come into play towards the end of the season. And the reason it is because both these teams are in 3A. And you kick out the private schools, and then that could really depend on where everybody is, because after week two, they came out. And I saw them earlier this week, and North Hall was actually a little ahead of Cherokee Bluff, which was odd to me.
And Joe, let's explain it to our listeners what it is. In Class AAA, you have regions. If you finish in the top two in your region, you're guaranteed to go to the state playoffs. Mm-hmm. Three on down, you're not guaranteed. They have this power ranking system now, and the Georgia High School Association, in their infinite wisdom, released that rankings earlier this week. Yep. I was talking to one coach in particular. He said, you know, it's putting a lot of stress on players if they're looking at it, that kind of thing. Yep. Because it's, okay, yeah, you just want to win every game. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing like, look at the philosophy of Dawson County, for example. He's always said, I don't care if I go 0-4 in non-region play, let me win my region. Right. And that's the emphasis. But if you don't, then those non-region games become so much more important that you've got to win some games, Joe.
And in the GHSA's wisdom, that's what they've done. They've put a lot more emphasis on the non-region games. They want you to play good teams, obviously. But, you know, it's like Wesleyan last week. Even though it was a three-point loss, it was against a good team, and they're getting beat tonight, Wesleyan is. So, you know, their North Hall is sitting a little higher than Cherokee Bluff because evidently they don't think Cherokee Bluff's two wins are better than that one loss from North Hall. So I don't understand them at all.
Bingo. And also about not understanding, go back and tell listeners about the fact that GHSA split Hall County into two regions.
Yeah.
You have Cherokee Bluff, East Hall, and West Hall in Region 8 AAA. You have North Hall, Johnson, and Chesity in Region 6 AAA.
Yeah, and when you split them up like that, to me it makes it even that much more weird for everybody. I mean, because the AAA, you know, we've argued for years, Mike, all of us, and yeah, really the only school that's a lot more as far as average daily attendance, and it was Gainesville, you know, because they have so many students. Everybody else in the county pretty well was the same other than Flower and Branch. And still are, really. You know, when you look at the ADA, you look at the number of students.
Well Joe, I'm gonna blame the people that live in Hall County for that. There's too many of you. You know what I mean? Gwinnett County has 17, back then, 4A, 5A, 6A, 7A schools. They've really eliminated 7A, so there's 17 schools, and you got to split the region up. And Hall County is growing so much, Mike, as you know, just over the past few years. Some of these schools that are now 6A, they were just a few years ago, they were 3 or 4A,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
So they're leaping into bigger, better, higher competition. And I know you may not like it, but the regions are too small right now to support that 7th, 8th, 9th team. So that's why I think they're seeding everybody, and that's just – The sticker that they put on
the idea is that a number 4 or 5 team in one region could be better than a number 3 team or number 2 team in another region. And they want the best 32 teams in the state rather than how it's been in the past about playing regions. So it's like regions are only good for the regular season, those top two teams getting automatic bursts in the state playoffs. But then there's no region versus region, Joe, in the state playoffs. It's 1 through 32,
right,
and they go from that
right.
One place 32, and then goes from there.
Well, and reading it earlier this year, preseason, as I was doing some reading, and the way I understand it is now where you might where 6 might play an 8, now you might have a team from North Georgia go down to South Georgia in the first round and
Bingo.
Play.
Exactly.
And that's going to be a big difference in the playoff system than what it's been. So it's going to cut down on crowds a lot, because I don't see a number 28 team going to a top 10 team and taking more than 100 people. So it could affect the gate.
That's why what we do is so very important here at halftime. It is Cherokee Bluff on top of North Hall 31-7. We're back with the second half after this on 97.5 Glory FM.
This has been the United Community Halftime Report on 97.5 Glory FM. The second half kickoff is coming up next.
United Community is a bank that asks, when it comes to your finances, how do you define success? Knowing your bank has your financial future right on course? Having a banking partner that's ready with a plan when opportunity knocks? Or maybe it's a digital banking experience that puts everything at your fingertips, even at your daughter's soccer game. However you define success, United Community's trusted bankers are here for you. Success, it takes a community, a united community. Learn more at ucbi.com. Member FDIC.
If you need on-time, expert plumbing service, Conditioned Air Systems is here for you. Our plumbers deliver the highest quality service in North Georgia 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. We've been North Georgia's source for elite residential and commercial services since 1983. Our licensed plumbers offer services for installation and repairs of pipes, water heaters, septic lines, and sump pumps. Choose Conditioned Air Systems for quality service and unmatched knowledge for your plumbing needs.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
As an electric cooperative, Jackson EMC must always have an eye on the future, exploring the newest innovations taking place in every area of our business. Ideas that lead to a better use of resources and improved ways of conducting business. Automated switch technology, iPads in the field, and internal networking that enable us to pinpoint outages, access complex mapping, and provide faster response times. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
Get ready for the second half of play here on 97.5 Glory FM. Joe Gailey, Gary Glenn, Harper Abell, Mike Warford with you here. Next week we are going to be at North Hall as East Hall takes on North Hall, while it will be Cherokee Bluff on the road at Hammersham Central in their next ball game coming up next week. Okay. We'll go to the second half, guys.
Cherokee Bluff's going to have the ball first. If they go down and score, North Hall's, you're looking at basically just throwing it, throw it all the second half. But they need to stop right here when they come out here, three and out, get a turnover, whatever, to start with.
I watched these two teams warm up, Joe, and I was really surprised at the amount of big guys that North Hall has, and they're not all playing. So that tells me that, you know, that they're big, but they may not be able to move at the speed that you need to. But you got to establish the line. And so far, Cherokee, especially on the defensive line, they're not big, but they are they're moving, they're getting to the ball, they're flowing. I call them all compass. When your linebackers can go north, south, east, west, get to the ball faster than what the setup of the play is initially, that's what you want. And Cherokee Bluff, remember, we saw them 2 weeks ago here at home against Lumpkin County. Lumpkin County, I thought, was going to just blow the doors off them. They only scored 20 points. They only scored 7 last week at Appalachia against the same defense, and now they've only given up 7 here in the first half. This defense can play.
Defense is playing very well so far. We'll see how they do here in the second half. They'll come out. You will have
The key to the second half may be established on this first drive.
Exactly.
Your point was well taken. If Cherokee Bluff can come down and put another, even 3 more on the board, that really is going to be a mountain for North Hall to have to climb. Psychologically, if nothing else.
Yeah, exactly right, Gary. Exactly right. Blake Carmona will come out and kick off for the Trojans. Deep, you will have Colin Mears. You'll have number 1, Landon Kemp. Back deep, Jackson Perkle, back deep for the Bears. See what Carmona will do. He is a right-footed kicker, little guy, and he kicked pretty good. Probably a soccer player with those green or fluorescent green cleats. High pop-up. Kemp catches it at the 14, the 20, the 30. Sidesteps a guy. Finally gets tackled down around the 40-yard line. Good job by Landon Kemp. He hit that seam real well in there and got an opening and got about a quick burst of 20 yards and got out to the 39 is where they'll spot it at.
Yeah, that ball was in the air for a while and gave Kemp a chance to get under it. And when he catches it, he's already going full speed. And it didn't take him long to get up to the 40-yard line. That's exactly where they mark it.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you better wrap these Bluff kids up because they don't go down on just a little tap.
Exactly right. Brooks Bryan is your quarterback. He is in. You've got Connor Griffin in the backfield. KT Thompson out wide on the far side with Millsap. Back to passes. Bryan comes over to this side. Passes it over here to number 12, Fontenot. Fontenot, the tight end. Now across the 40, the 45, across the 50. Hits a guy right head on at the 49 of Cherokee Bluff and goes across to the 49 of North Hall.
Walker Davis hit him first, then Parker Carlton finished him off. Guys, I got Ryland Ackerman from the Bluff over here in street clothes now, just with his jersey on.
Ah.
So he's done for the night, looks like.
I hate to hear that. Ryland's one of those big keys on defense for them. Connor Griffin in the backfield. Behind his quarterback, you've got Millsap and KT Thompson on the far side right at midfield. Ball's on the 49. Low snap. They give it off to Griffin. Griffin's battling through. They're trying to rip that ball out. Keeps pushing from behind and gets up to the 42. Or down to the 42, I should say.
Did you see him back into that pile?
Exactly. That's what I was thinking about.
I'll bet you that boy does a lot of squats.
Dalton Hulsey in on the tackle for the Trojans. But, yeah, he got his back, and he just kept pushing with those strong legs. Well, he got about 7 yards, second down and three.
You know, I never like to beat up the players, but there were a couple of guys on defense that didn't wrap him up. They were hitting him with the shoulder, but they're not wrapping him up and bringing him down. Go, even if you're going to go down, bring his legs with you, and he can't go any further.
Both you guys, you and Gary both mentioned that. You've got to wrap him up on defense.
And George says so easy, but you got to stop somebody.
Exactly. Caleb Cooper at a wing. Oh, and they come in, bust him, break it open. Right there is a handoff to Griffin, and he gets hit from behind.
Yeah, there was a bobble on the snap.
Big Charlie House comes in and busted up. Lost about 6 yards. It's third down and six now.
Brings up third down.
Bobble the snap a little bit, Joe. The quarterback had to come down with it, and that gave the defense just enough time to react. Charlie's a pretty good player.
Landon Kemp comes in, gives the play to his quarterback, Brooks Bryan. Bryan back in the shotgun. Three wideouts. KT on the near side. Griffin in the backfield. Back to passes. Bryan getting pressured. Throws it. Gives it to Griffin. Griffin catches it and only loses about a yard after it. Passed the original line of scrimmage and got back to maybe the North Hall 47. So it'll be fourth down and seven from there.
Well, they're going to try to flip the field again. Punt them into a hole, little pooch kick. Have it. Hopefully, for the Bears, is going to roll with inside the 10 or something like that.
There, Garrett Hyder is doing the punting. He's the left footer, place kicker, kickoff guy, and you got Cole Cable and Luke Jenkins back. High kick right up in the area. It's going to hit and bounce sideways out of bounds inside the 20 around the 18-yard line, and that's where it'll be first and 10 for the Trojans. That's going to say the 15 is where it hit and went sideways out of bounds. Good kick.
Yep.
And we've got an official. Ooh, we got two officials. One official hit the ground over on the far side, Gary, right around the 33. Don't know if he got hit by a player, but trainers out there to check on him. All three of the officials. Hate to see that.
Yeah.
As a fellow official for years and years, anytime a partner went down, man, you always worried you.
And you're not expecting it either.
No,
you're not braced for it.
You know, you're watching, and if you're the middle guy, the umpire, if he's in the – you're watching, but you got guys you can't see from the side, and then you maybe try to turn around, and boom, you get hit by a guy.
They got the training staff out there attending to him. So
he might have got hit pretty hard. I hope he's all right.
I do, too. They may have to finish this with a
– Barry Woodall's the umpire tonight, and I'm not sure if that's Barry or not, but he's sitting up now.
May have to finish this game with a short crew.
Folks giving him a hand as he – sitting up there, but the trainers out there, Johnny on the spot, good for them. Our buddy Jeff Fleming out there checking on him. Let's see Jeff and say hey to him before the game.
Well, Tommy Jones is out there too.
Good, good. Checking on him to see how he's doing. I don't know if he, hopefully he didn't twist a knee or ankle or anything. He just kind of maybe fell on his behind. And,
well, I'm hoping it didn't hit his head.
Oh, yeah, like exactly. Exactly. I've seen that before when guys get hit and go down face first into this turf. And thank goodness, knock on wood, I've never done that. Hope I never do. Have you done that, Harper?
It's embarrassing. So I'm not going to share my face first story, but I do have one in the holster. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand.
Is it on YouTube?
What's that?
Is it on YouTube?
No, thank goodness. No,
they didn't catch that.
Be even more embarrassing.
A bunch of likes and views and all that stuff now. Right?
No, they just go, yeah, I can't believe this. My foot got caught in the turf, the old turf. My very first road game at Colorado State, we were playing some school, I think it's called Tennessee,
Yeah.
And you know how you look up at Tennessee, if you've ever been there, that stadium. And I look up, and I wasn't used to the turf, and my toe just hit in the right angle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was right near the sideline, our sideline. And I fall. Thank goodness I had my helmet on, or I'd have broke my nose.
Shoot.
And I look up, and one of our coaches says, "Good Lord, son, I hope that's not an indication of how we're going to play."
Russ Davis down on the sideline kind of looking to see if he might need to go out there. And I think Russ has been involved in the training
aspect of a while. Yeah. For 100 years.
Ross has forgotten more about physical therapy than
what they're thinking of. I know there's supposed to be an ambulance somewhere nearby. Do we need to bring him or get the Gator card out? Because he's been down long enough to at least invite that as an option.
He's sitting up, but he still hasn't moved much.
Well, you think about concussion also.
Exactly.
That's what
I'm
hoping if that's the case, they're going to take him to the hospital.
Yeah, that head hits that concrete. Turf is almost like concrete a lot of times.
It doesn't have a lot of give to it. No. Even more than it used to. Like, I remember watching them play on that old rug they had at Georgia Tech, and that was like you went out here and put a throw rug on this parking lot out here.
Yeah. The concrete is so much softer now, Joe.
The concrete is
it's the softest concrete you can get. It's
padded stuff now.
Yeah.
We have a delay here. Let's take a timeout. 31-7, Cherokee Bluffing over North Hall. Back after this minute, one timeout. 1 minute timeout, Nathan, here on 97.5 Glory FM.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top-quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
Back to school shouldn't mean back to the doctor. Make sure you go to Riverside Pharmacy for all of your health needs. They have everything from hand sanitizers to all of the vitamins you'll need. But if your child does get sick, then the expert pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy can get your family back to school by filling all of your prescriptions. They'll even deliver them in the Gainesville area. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Like nothing happened.
We're back here after this delay, after the official was injured. Joe, I've been heard from another source that it is your friend, the umpire.
Yeah, Barry Woodall.
Yeah, it looks like it.
And I went down to check with our ECO, and he was watching, but he didn't see Barry go down, so he don't think got from the side or whatever. But he's up, put his hat on, and got a good hand from the crowd. So,
yeah. Well, the sticks are wrong. The sticks are as if Cherokee Bluff has the ball.
Now they've got to get that fixed because it's North Hall's football now. You've got Smith McGarvey in the backfield. He's got 3-4 wideouts for North Hall. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys on the line of scrimmage.
Left hash, 28-yard line.
Scientific term for what happened to him was you got his bell wrong.
Exactly. McGarvey going to hand off to the Jenkins. Jenkins squirts through the 35 to about the 36 for about a 7-yard pickup. Eric Johansson in on the stop.
Joe, quick score update is now Commerce on top of Luell after 3, 17-14.
I want you to know that they're happy to see a score ahead, 7-yard gain. Going on the far side, McGarvey's going to take it. He gets the first down, gets knocked out of bounds around the 40, 41-yard line on the far side on the North Hall side of the field.
He briefly ran into the backside of his own man before he squirted outside.
8:52 in the quarter, 31-7 Cherokee Bluff.
Important drive here for North Hall, very important. You got to get back in this ball game. You got to get past the 50-yard line, right? You haven't done that since early in the ball game.
Exactly. First down and 10, balls on the North Hall 41, just across midfield. number two, Luke Jenkins, in the backfield on the left-hand side of McGarvey. McGarvey's going to send him in motion over to the far side. He stops, looking to pass. McGarvey got one coming on him. He rolled to this side, turns around, goes the other way. Big pressure from the purple team. That's going to be going down on the far side over there. Number eight makes the tackle.
Number nine,
that's going to be Tony Rushing, the defensive end, an eight-yard loss for the Trojans.
Well, they pinned him in the backfield, Joe, and one got away from one guy, and then another fella starts closing in on him, and they chased him over there into the grasp of Tony Rushing.
Another white jersey was trying to go knock him off of him, but Rushing just fought his way through and got the tackle. Second down and about 17, it looks like. Got to get across midfield to the 49. Ball's on the 34.5. Three wideouts near side. McGarvey back to pass. The left-hander looking, got protection, throws it in the middle. Pop up. Intercepted by Landon Kemp. Landon Kemp across midfield to the 40, knocked down to the 38.
Well, it bounced off the hands of number one, Cole Cable, into the hands of number one, Landon Kemp.
And right now, guys, North Hall's running out of opportunities. It's getting late for them because they're three scores and three two-point PATs or four scores for getting back into this game.
Yeah, exactly. They're down 24. And this could put it way out of reach. As Harper said, if you want to tip it, you want to tip it down and not up. He tipped that one up and left it wide open for Landon to just wait up and get the interception.
Had enough time. I could almost have run out there and picked that ball down. It just hung and hung and hung, and Kemp's a lot faster than I am.
First down, ball's on the North Hall 38. I formation behind the quarterback, Brian. Brian going to pitch to Perkle. Perkle scoots inside the 40, the 35, down to the 34.
They went unbalanced line that time, Joe. Did you see that? They shifted all to the left and gave Perkle some beef to run behind, and he's going to pick up close to four.
Tanner White, defensive end, makes the stop for the Trojans.
Second down, six for the Bears.
Second down, six, as you just heard from the PA man. Got Landon Kemp going back in the game. Brooks Bryan, the quarterback, comes over, gets the signal, goes back out. Jackson Perkle right behind him. Caleb Cooper, over in a slot. Millsap, a wide out. Kemp and KT Thompson. Bryan takes it, looks. The right-hander throws it deep, right over the middle, looking for somebody about 10 yards over anybody's head down there. Mm. He threw it into the end zone, but no purple jerseys were close.
If you got a knock on Cherokee Bluff tonight, that's the knock. He is overthrown his receivers about a half dozen times now. Well, they're getting open. They're not quite in sync yet.
Well, he had no time to get rid of that ball, Gary. That was a blitz from the outside that if he held onto it any longer, he's going to go down with the football. So he got rid of it, and he said, well, I'd rather overthrow it than underthrow it.
Right. And, if I overthrow it from everybody, at least it doesn't get picked,
It's a good toss away. It's third down. You live to fight for another down.
7-12. Ryan takes it, hands off to Perkle, right up the middle, 25, 20, bounced over a guy, 10, 5, touchdown Bears. And the referee goes down again, oh my goodness.
I think it's the same guy.
Yeah, it is. Woodall's right there in the middle, he's down again. I don't see any hankies on the field, so that's going to be a touchdown for the Bears. And Woodall's gone down again, and he's holding his head, bless his heart.
And so there's your ball game.
Yep, that should be it. With 7:05, makes it 37-7.
I think he's hurt his back.
I mean, you're talking running clock now if they could hold North Hall off in this third quarter.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be a 30-point or more advantage at the end of three. If it is, it's a running clock. Except on timeouts, I believe. And that's one of those things. Barry's trying to do his job and move around in there, and, man, sometimes it just gets tough.
You can only be so quick.
Yeah. You know, and luckily, you know, in the 3 years I did football, I never was the umpire. I was always a line judge.
You're a pretty smart guy, aren't you?
Exactly. Yeah. I said, I don't want to be in the middle of that.
Well, you know what they've done in the NFL? They've moved the umpire on the same side
of the
ball
as the referee.
They're on the offensive side.
Yep.
And
Well, I don't blame them. I mean, obviously, you can see right there because that guy's got so many blind spots when you're trying to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and the kids are going full speed, and they all of a sudden, uh-oh, there's a striped shirt in front of me. I can't stop.
There is no best place to be
exactly
in that because somebody's coming from an angle, and if you're running up the middle, which is exactly what Perkle did, interesting little block. He lines up out as a wing, but Brett Pierce, the sophomore who was in that tight end on that play, as soon as the ball snap goes right behind where the center is, the center goes off to his left, and he fills that gap, and he hits the linebacker, and Perkle just changes direction off of whatever that block is.
They so got him up again, but let's see if they're going to bring him off to the side this time.
We'll
put his hat back on, but he's walking off to the sideline this time, which is a very good decision by Mr. Woodall.
Joe, quick score update for you. Just starting the fourth quarter in Dahlonega. It's now Hart County 17, Lumpkin County 14. And the Atlanta Braves have won tonight, defeating Philadelphia 7-2, back to 5 games in back of the fields.
All right, good for them.
That's Perkle's second touchdown of the night, by the way.
Yes,
he scored the first touchdown back at the first quarter.
You know, he had a good game 2 weeks ago when we had him down here. Second year over Mountain View, 25-3. Still no update on the East Hall Johnson game. They'll be a running clock. It's 41-0 on that one. And getting their play in there. Fannin County with a huge lead. 35-0 Stevens County, big lead, 45-3 over Cedar Shoals.
I think our umpire may be done for the night.
Yeah, I think he is too. They're in the
shook him up pretty good.
Referee's talking
time.
To
has that changed rotation of the field, guys?
Well, they're discussing that right now. Your official has an option. There's a guy, you know, one of the timekeepers may end up going down on the field and have a neutral home,
and that's what they've done.
Cherokee Bluff,
that's what
representative
done.
Run the clock.
Yep. Yeah, you got our old buddy Steve Hudson is coming up here, I think, to keep the clock. They've got it down.
He's going for the righty. Yeah. He wants the righty.
Righty, Steve.
I want the righty here.
This looks like Steve's going to come up here and keep the clock, and the guy that was doing the clock is going to head down, and then they'll probably move one of the back judges into the umpire position. As I would normally say, put one of those young, agile guys back there.
They don't fall as hard? Is that what you're saying, Joe?
Lighter on their feet.
I've just learned when those high school kids come rushing towards you, you just get out of the way.
Try to duck or something?
Yep.
Commerce with the lead over Luetta, 17-14. East Jackson on top of Dawson County, 35-10. East Jackson, the Eagles, may be for real down there this year, Michael.
They'll be undefeated, 3-0.
Jefferson, 26-14 over Clark Central. Habersham 24-14. That was at the half over White County. Back here. See if I got any more. That's all I've got right now, locally. The extra point is up and good. It makes it 38-7 with 7:05 remaining in the game.
And we're back in 1 minute on 97.5 Glory FM.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
And we are back here getting ready for the kickoff. It's Cherokee Bluff lead by 31.
Garrett Hyder back to kickoff for the Bears. Cole Cable back deep for the Trojans. Getting all the officials squared up where they need to be. They all ready. Ron Reagan says, here we go, gentlemen. There's a high end-over-end kick going to come down right on the one. Cable to the 10, 15, 20. 25, 30. Man hits him head on right there to 29. Knocks him down.
Lost his helmet.
Cole's helmet came off. Number 21, it looked like. Brock Hall, I believe, made the tackle on there.
Yeah, Connor Cook and Colin Myers also in on it. Cook, I think, lost his helmet. Had to come off.
Uh-huh. First down. North Hall has the ball. Ball will be on the 30-yard line. That's where they'll spot it. First and 10. For the Trojans, we'll have Smith McGarvey in the backfield, R.J. Dalton in the backfield with him, along with Luke Jenkins. One wide out here on the near side. A tight end, that's going to be Gray. Hands off to Jenkins, I believe, or was that Dalton?
Dalton.
Dalton got it, and they pushed him way back. No gain. He lost a yard on it.
They lined up in a T formation backfield in the shotgun, and they just handed off to one of the halfbacks back there with him, and he got nothing. Back lost a yard.
West Hall over Chesterton 24-6 in the third quarter.
Wondering if that last pass that was intercepted has Sean Pender wondering whether or not we're going to be throwing the ball much, or if you're just going to set it up, because they got two tights in right now and a real strong formation on the right.
Hand off again. Going to get off to Jenkins this time. He's hogtied around the 34, brought down to the 34 as number 12, Parker Carlton. Excuse me. I saw the two, but not the one. Parker brought down after about a four-yard gain, maybe five, because they had lost a yard on the previous one. It'd be third down and six. Ball's on the 34. Got to get to the 40. 6:05 here in the third.
Excuse me, Joe. Kemp grabbed his ankle and got him stumbling. They got finished off.
Cole Cable out to the near side. Carlton over to the left, kind of behind his quarterback, Slayman. Or McGarvey, excuse me. He's going to be wrapped up with no gain at all right there. Who was that man? Hudson Davis, the nose guard, made the tackle on that one.
Hudson did a great job of swimming around the center and getting into the backfield. It took him a little moment to go, well, which way is the running back going to go? And I'm going to go chase him. But he ended up hitting him behind the line of scrimmage. It's now fourth and a long five, not quite six. Well, they moved the ball back, so it's a six-yard necessary goal now for North Hall.
You know, Davis,
two guys on, two guys off.
He's only a sophomore, Davis is.
Yep. McGarvey in. Somebody moved early. No hot, no flag. McGarvey throws a BB right there in the middle.
Nice.
And it's caught for the first down. Number three, Ty Kemp caught it and was hit in the back immediately, but they did get the first down.
Well, there's the flag. That's going to be an unnecessary, I think, on the bluff.
The way they hit him.
Hit him from behind. He was defenseless when he made the he made the grab, and that was just, I mean, he drilled him. I mean, he really drilled him. It was like a shove.
21-0 over Westlake in the second quarter.
And Joe, looking ahead to next week, right now East Hall, after threes, leading Johnson 41-0, no score in the third quarter of play. We'll see the Vikings and Trojans at the Brickyard at Lincoln Trail Stadium next week here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Wow. You knew that rivalry in the 900th year?
The Trojans are going to have to do some regrouping, because it looks like the Vikings have got some of that momentum on their side now.
About a 15-yard penalty right there on the unnecessary roughness. 38-7, 5:06 in the third quarter. North Hall, after the complete pass that gave him the first down, then with the big penalty, pushes across midfield down to the 42 of Cherokee Bluff.
So they're spreading it out here offensively.
McGarvey with three wideouts, one in motion. That was Kemp. They're going to throw it down deep. They're going to Kemp. Cole in and out of his hands. And he had KT beat by about a step. It went through Cole Cable's hands, or it would have been six for the Trojans.
Nice little go route there by Cole Cable at the 20-yard line. You saw the separation, Joe, and it was KT who said, I'm going to run with you. And the ball hits him in his hands. He's just not able to bring it in. That would have been a clear touchdown. And if nothing else, just a confidence builder for North Hall.
Second down, 10 now. Ball's on the 42-yard line.
4:49 here left to go in the quarter. With those delays there because of our official getting injured, it seems like this has been a really long quarter.
Jacob Adams splits out in there and a receiver this time. McGarvey back. One man blitzing in a hurry. He comes in. McGarvey misses him. Steps aside. Going to throw it at the last second. Got a man open. He catches it right there at the 22-yard line. The big tight end, Dawson Gray.
Yep. Did a good job of hanging on to the ball,
yes,
too.
Yes, he did. Because a guy grabbed him up around the top of the shoulder pads by his jersey to yank him down. Dawson did a really nice job, Gary, to hold on to the football. He's down to the 22-yard line. It'll be first down and 10 for the Trojans. A couple of big plays and a penalty here. Harper, they're down within scoring distance.
Dawson Gray did a good job of just sitting in the spot and just letting the quarterback find him.
Four wideouts. McGarvey goes to the far side. Got a man open.
That's a
touchdown, Trojans. Who was that, number two or three? Was that Ty Kemp?
Yes,
yeah,
it was.
Ty Kemp catches that one in the back corner of the end zone. He waited to leap at the last minute. He went right over the purple jersey man, and he went up and grabbed it with two hands and came down for the TD.
Well, he double caught it, but he doesn't get credit for two catches there on that one. But it's a touchdown nonetheless, and, again, that confidence builder from an offensive perspective. They still got a long way to go, but at least they know that they can get past the 50 now. They can get down the field. And even if it takes a penalty or two, we can get ourselves back in this ball game.
McGarvey, the holder.
Carmona
will kick it. Snap, the hole down. The kick is up. It's blocked. The kick is blocked right there in the middle. I believe it was number 8.
Yep.
Dylan Haley. We have the block. They'll leave it. 38-13 with 4:13 left here in the third quarter.
That means North Hall's got 4 scores to get back into this game. More after this in 1 minute on 97.5 Glory FM.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
This is Representative Lee Hawkins. You're represented to the state legislature. I want to wish all the local athletes in our area the very best this season. Your team is very important to the success of our community, and I look forward to seeing you play this year and to see what you accomplish in the classrooms and in the community. I also look forward to serving you and your family in the state legislature. This message paid for by the committee to re-elect Lee Hawkins.
Carmona with the pop-up this time is going to come down short around the 25-yard line. That was, is that 43?
Grant McElroy.
Grant
58.
McElroy. Okay, 68 came down. 58 came down with it. He's one of the linemen. So up man got it, brought it back out to the 38-yard line.
You know you're pretty cool when you are a lineman and you get a 10-yard return and all the other linemen are going to give you, they're not going to do a whole lot. They can't let anybody know, but they're going to go, hey, I'm going to hit you on top of the head with this one right there. It's pretty cool.
He'll catch a brief practice next week for sure. Hey, let's see how far you can run this one.
That's a dream.
First down and 10. Bluff with the football. 4:09 here in the third. Then a little reverse. Come over. The ball pops out. North Hall comes up with it. It's going to be brought down at the 34, number 44 for the Trojans. Dalton Hulsey, as the ball got knocked out, he picked it up around the 40. And he rambles down to about the 30-yard line.
Well, it was an attempted wildcat reverse to Caleb Cooper, number 47, the senior tight end. And he immediately comes over to the sideline, takes those purple gloves that he's wearing, and throws them as far away as he possibly can. I don't think we'll see gloves anymore.
Don't want those anymore.
But a big hit there at the line of scrimmage. And then was it 44 that Dalton Hulsey that returns it? Yeah. And guess what? We were just saying you got yourself a ball game. Mm-hmm. You still got Mike was calculating scores and he was counting fingers and toes, but they can get it a little bit closer. Ball's at the 30.
Yeah, there's a counter play which just didn't counter.
And the handoff this time going to try to come around this end. That's going to be Jenkins, and he's going to be rolled out of bounds by that big defense for Cherokee Bluff. Number 3 comes over there, Colin Myers, and makes the play.
Yeah, now you talk about wrapping up. That's the video right there, brother. Make that on the form tackle. He had him all the way around the waist, put his shoulder in his midsection, and drove him out of bounds.
Lakeview with a running clock against Towns County at the end of third, 42-0. Coach Lee Coleman's Lions with the lead over the Indians. Second down, about 14 to go. Ball's on the 34 now. That's going to be McGarvey. McGarvey has a little time, throws it in the middle, complete to Cable. Cable bounces off a guy at the 30, down to the 20, inside for the first down around the 14 or 16-yard line.
That's a good run.
He bounced off that guy really nice there, Gary, and kept his feet going and got down to the 14 after contact.
It seems like the two number ones are hooking up a lot here tonight, guys. That was with another tackle by Landon Kemp on Cole Cable.
18-yard pickup. Cole is a sophomore. Landon is a senior. Three wideouts on the far side. Going to give off to Carlton. Carlton kind of to drive in the middle. Gets across the 15 down to the 14, maybe. Yeah, got about 2 yards out of it, maybe 3. Second down and about 8. We're at 2:42 remaining in the third quarter. 25-point lead for the Bears. 38-13. North Hall driving, trying to cut it down a little bit more to make it a little bit more reasonable here with one quarter left. Line comes up. You got Cable coming over to the near side. McGarvey with Carlton to his right. Two wideouts on the far side is Jenkins and Kemp. Going to hand off. Going to keep it himself. McGarvey to the 10. Got tangled up with a purple jersey. Had him by the ankle. Good job. Good tackle right there by number 12. That's Bryce Fontenot. Bryce usually plays tight end, but he was on defense that time.
But, you know, you worry about that when you grab that one leg like that and you start getting spun around in that crowd, and he's kind of nursing his leg a little bit too, because that's a recipe for either an ankle or a knee to go one way and you go in the other.
And as a competitor, you're going to try and pull away, so you're going to turn it whichever way you can to try. And as you like to say, he tries to get away. Parker Carlton in the backfield. Hand it off to Parker. Parker trying to go through the middle off the far side over behind Sanders and Ham. Might have got back to the line of scrimmage. It's going to be fourth down and about three on the far side. I would think they'd go for it right here.
Oh, yeah. You got to go for it here. And you're going to – I suspect you're going to throw it. So be aware there in that second tier of your defenders, the linebackers and the cornerbacks. Although he might throw it for the whole yards.
McGarvey back there, Carlton on his left.
I'm sorry, I said 11. You got to get to the 6. Excuse me.
Got to get to the 6. Cable out far to the right near the near sideline. McGarvey going to try and run around the far side. His defense knocks him out of bounds, short of the first down.
Well, I was wrong. They didn't throw it, but they should have.
Tyler Underwood, Tyler rode him out of bounds about a yard short.
Boy, he knew where he needed to take him to, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He got right there around the 12, Gary, and he just rode him out of bounds diagonally there and rode him out of bounds. It'll be first down and 10 for the Bears as they hold him with 56.9 seconds here.
If McGarvey falls forward, he might get it. But the push out of bounds, as you said, it was diagonal. He went straight to the sideline, and he did not gain anything closer. They would give him the ball. You need to get the 6. Guess what? Cherokee Bluff will take it first and 10 at the 7.
And that's what you coach him, Harper. You put your head in front when you make that tackle so they don't fall forward. You get that angle on him to push him out of bounds.
Brooks Bryan, two men in motion. They flip-flop from one side to the other. High snap. Going to give over here to Perkle. Perkle, or is that?
That's Griffin.
Griffin. Griffin comes around the 5, and he's going to get wrapped up around the 6 and pushed back even further. Finally brings him down.
But he just wasn't going to go down, but he kept losing yards.
Hey, Gary, did every one of the 11 North Hall players have to touch him before he was going to go down?
I think so.
That's what happened right there. Mike?
I was going to say, one of the big stories you got to have here, Joe, is a former Fire Branch coach who coached here, Chris Griffin, leading that defense there at Bluff.
Yes, he is. And he's doing a fabulous job with him tonight for doggone sure. He's got him pumped up and playing.
He's also one of the big guys in the weight room here.
20 seconds and counting here in the third. KT over to the near side. Bryce Fontenot comes in. He'll be a tight end on the far side. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 takes the snap. Looks, goes up the middle. They're going to roll him out to about the 15-yard line, about 2 yards short. That'll end the quarter. 38-13 Bears after 3.
And we're back at this 1 minute timeout with a fourth and final quarter on 97.5 Glory FM.
Thank you, North Hall. This is Chris Kinsey with Millie's Drapery and Decorating, and we would like to thank the North Hall community for their continued support. Since 1968, my family has provided the area with beautiful custom drapery, bedding, upholstery, blinds, shades, and more. If you would like some help with your interior design project, give us a call and we'll schedule one of our talented designers to give you an in-home consultation and estimate for your project. Call us at 770-532-3819.
Your home is part of you, and keeping it comfortable and well-maintained is essential. Conditioned Air Systems is North Georgia's solution for residential heating, air, and plumbing services. For more than 40 years, our family has been committed to delivering the highest quality service by our certified technicians and plumbers. Experience the difference today when you choose Conditioned Air Systems for your home's heating, air, and plumbing needs. Quality you can feel, service you can trust. Visit conditionedairsystems.com to schedule an appointment.
Time for four fingers in the air. That means time for the fourth and final quarter, guys.
Let's see what will happen right here. Cherokee Bluff will have it. Be third and about 2. Ball will be spotted on the 15. Got to get to about the 17. They'll bring it back out. Brooks Bryan.
That was a pretty even quarter, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. 7-6, I believe it was.
Yep.
Flip-flop a tight end and slot man. Ryan takes the snap, a little high, hands off to the running back. That was Perkle. Perkle got maybe one. He did not get the first down. It'll be fourth down and about one. Tackles Walker Davis.
Yeah.
Well, Walker's made lots of tackles tonight.
But to a rare three and out. A
lot of tackles. Yeah, he hit him the top of the legs and knocked him right down.
Walker had 9 tackles last week. And he's going to be close to that tonight. Ron just texted me, says Hart County's up by 4, 25-21 over Lumpkin in the
fourth. Okay, we'll still get you. 24, okay, got you.
38-13, your score.
Go to block it here. Yeah, there's short one guy. Number 21 is late
Brock Hall.
Get to his wing position. I think North will try to block this.
Hyder, high snap. They get it off, Hyder does. Going to come down. It'll bounce and roll. He takes it right there to 2. That was Luke Jenkins at the 50. Rolls around the far side. Down inside the 35 and knocked out of bounds at the 34. Luke. Oh, he would play 30. That kind of tough there, Harper, because it bounced one time. He had a guy in purple all over him. He picked it up and scooted around the far side.
35-yard punt and a 16-yard return.
Early in this ball game, they're going to let that ball bounce and bounce and bounce. And
yep.
No, not on that one.
Now you got to create.
Jenkins says,
I'm going
to make something happen. He, right as you said, Joe, at the 50-yard line, he sprints to the sideline and goes straight to go visit with coach and then plants that foot and it's about 15 yards. You got pretty good field position right now. Hold on to that football, North.
Going to look to pass. McGarvey gives it over here to 3. That's going to be Kemp. Kemp got inside, but he's brought down by a host of purple jerseys. One of those guys is 33. Yeah, big number 33 that time. That's going to be Connor Cook.
We called his name a time or two, yeah.
Well, yeah, the luxury of having this lead right here, fellas, is Coach Jones is able to play some underclassmen to get them some game experience against a good team.
Well, they're pretty young anyway.
Yeah, they are. Second down and 9. They're going to try and go to the other side and brought down hard on the far side that time. That's going to be Jacob Adams. And they're going to say he got about a yard. And now we've got a Cherokee Bluff. He's getting up, but he's lost his helmet. That's going to be one of the defensive players. Mad at himself. That number 87?
Eric Johansson.
Eric Johansson, yeah. He's going to come off. Big red head. Not very happy that he's having to come off, but that's the rule. Johansson is a junior.
6'1", 190. Pretty good size. They're going to have some people coming back, the Bluff are. Ahead and look and look. All these people are sophomores and juniors that are playing.
38-13, 9:45 in the fourth quarter. Bluff with the lead. It was tied at 7, and Cherokee Bluff went on a run. It's 31-7 at the half. 7-6 has been your score. Bluff by 1 in the second after a blocked PAT. McGarvey back to pass, got time, throws it over the top to Cole, and in and out of his hands. The defender right there was number 3, Colin Moores. Colin was able to get a hand up enough to kind of pull it one hand down from Cole to keep him from making the reception.
Yeah, that's the difference in that, and the pass interference is about a half a second.
Yep.
Well, you're going to go for it on fourth down.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it'd be a 48-yard field goal.
I don't know if they got anybody there. Now they're going to run it down, call official, head official, blowing his whistle. Let's see if they're going to
just reset the clock.
Well, okay. They're resetting the football back to the 32 exactly. Fourth down and 9, 9:23. Clock will start on the snap. McGarvey with 2 men in the backfield, a couple of wide outs and one in a slot. McGarvey to throw it. Got a little time now, has to roll out. Sprints backwards. 2 men wide on him. He throws it. He got a man open on the far side. Caught it. Can he get the first down? He steps it. First down for the Trojans.
Oh, yeah, got it.
It's going to be Parker Carlton on that little release from one of the running backs right there, and he was able to get it and get about 12 yards for the first down down to about the 20-yard line.
Didn't get a lot of pressure on him that time until the very last, and he had somebody break open right down the sidelines. And this time, instead of the Bluff being able to get the angle on him, knock him out of bounds, he stayed in bounds, stuck it up for that first down at the 20.
And Joe Lumpkin kind of just took the lead over Hart, 28-25.
All right, go Indians. From Habersham County, he's up 31-21 over White County in the fourth quarter. Commerce up 24-14. They come to this side, a little pitch out over here to number 2. That's going to be Jenkins. Jenkins not going to get much of anything out of maybe a yard or two, and that's it.
Yeah, Maddox.
5 yards completion.
Sutulovich.
Maddox. That's an all-name team.
Oh, have to come yeah, he was the one that made the tackle. I had to get out of the way again. But
second down and five.
Got him five.
East Jackson, big lead over Dawson County, 37-10 in the fourth quarter.
Nice little play, and then exposing the flats. Try to get the ball out as far away towards the sideline as you can, and then go upfield. That one for five.
Jenkins and Dalton in the backfield. He's going to throw it. Get it out there this time. Oh, and a good defense right there. Read it perfectly.
Yep.
Number 15, Tyler Underwood, comes in there, the lead tackler. And he's wrapped up by a couple of more. Gathered in there by Tony Rushing.
Dragging
him down for maybe a yard gain.
No, little more pressure.
Two, excuse me. Yeah, good pressure that time.
First foul of that, Joe. Yep. East Hall, 55. Johnson, nothing.
Boy, you were hoping that the Knights, after they won four last year, were going to.
New team this year, Derek.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally new team.
Yeah. They haven't scored a point this year, have they, Mike?
Yes, they did. They scored seven last week.
Scored last week, okay.
Scored but seven.
Yeah, third down and seven.
Bad.
McGarvey with Munn and McVale. That's Coffin. Back to pass, looking now. We're going to have a illegal procedure. Guy left early on the far side.
Sure did.
I thought somebody left a little early there.
He went on one. Everyone else went on two.
Yep.
And Joe, bad part about Johnson again. They're like a JV team.
Yeah.
They've allowed 123 points in two games.
Wow. That's got to be tough, I tell you.
Yeah, but in L football, they are great.
Oh, yeah.
But I tell you, too, the defense of East Hall has done the job. They're 3-0.
East Hall has really come in there, and Coach Turner's done a super job for them out there.
Well, that's the first time Vikings have been 3-0 in a while.
Right, yep. And it goes back to that defensive stand against Baines County in week one.
Third and 12, McGarvey back with two men behind him. One is in motion. McGarvey's going to take it. Look, he got one coming on, throws it over the middle, almost intercepted. Threw it a little bit behind him, and the intended receiver was in front. And Landon Kemp almost picked that one off.
That was literally one-on-one again.
Yep. A little go over on down. This brings up fourth down, excuse me, fourth down and 12.
Yeah, Garvey's got a quick release, doesn't he?
He does.
Just flips that ball out there, and he puts a little zip on it.
Next final in, Lakeview Academy, 42, Towns County, nothing.
That's an old rivalry, but Lakeview's not even in the GHSA anymore.
Still a big win for Coach Coleman up there. What's their record now, Mike?
3-0.
3-0. How about that? Final, Fannin County over Union, 42-7.
Well, Fannin County got themselves a pretty good football coach up there when they got Jack Keene's son-in-law up there.
Well, Chad was in Banks County for about a week, and then he went back up. And he's from up there, and he's really done a good job for him in Fannin County. McGarvey with it. Everybody running down the field. McGarvey throws it right over the middle. Oh, in and out of his hands. Hit him in a bad place, Harper, right there. He kind of went through his hand, his chest, and bounced off. That was number 22,
Jacob Adams. He's had a couple drops here. That ball, again, when the ball touches both your hands, and it's right up where your face mask is.
Go for on downs. It'll be Cherokee Bluffs Bay football with 7:29 remaining in the game.
You can say it, buddy. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
Yep. Second year with a win over Mountain View, 45-7. Milton with a big lead over Alpharetta.
Hey, second year's undefeated with Tony Lottie.
How about that?
Well, you saw what kind of coach Tony Lottie is. What is second year? 3-year school now?
Yes.
Yep, exactly. All right, they're under in the right under center. They're going to hand off to number 24, Griffin. Griffin's going to get maybe a yard.
Well, here's your ball control offense, Joe. That's the old-fashioned eye formation right there. You had a center, a quarterback under center, a fullback, and a tailback.
Forsyth County schools must be pretty decent. West Forsyth Oakland Park, 45-14.
They are.
Elbert County losing to Wesleyan now, 28-21. Gainesville, 21-7 at half over Westlake. Thank you, Ron Poole. Second down, 8. Ball's on the 24. Running that shot clock down or play clock down all the way down to 8 seconds. Pitches it back to Perkle. Nope, to Griffin again. Griffin's going to get another yard or two. And they're just happy to do that right now. Don't you think they're Harper to run it up, run some clock, and then kick it?
They've got Caleb Cooper in. who's listed as a tight end, but he's acting like a fullback right now. And as Gary said, this is just an I formation. There's a little bit of a toss to the left, student body left. They'll take 3 or 4 yards, but they'll burn 3-4 minutes off the clock if they have to punt.
Griffin's coming out of the game. He's limping a little bit. Yeah, they had the odd, and they had the wing to the left over there to provide your blocking back, and it was just a toss. Man, I just flash back to 1972.
Sam Bam Cunningham, 12. Right? Or,
I was 12 and didn't even know what a football looked like when I was 12.
Well, we did. Joe, you know what a baseball must have looked like,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. Baseball. I played baseball back in those days. Roll out to this side, Brian. Going to throw it. KT and upended right there. He came down hard, but he caught it. That'll knock the breath out of him because he landed on top of the football.
Agree. Yeah, that
he did.
That was a good grab by KT that time. Yeah, Charlie Dyer just cut his legs out.
He felt like I did when I was at Colorado State at Tennessee. That was a good fall right on his face. But
right now on the 37-yard line. Got to visit Mike when I went out at halftime. Got to visit with KT's dad for just a moment.
Very good.
He's going to have surgery here.
Really?
On that shoulder.
Oh, my.
And then be out for about 2 months rehab is what he was telling me. So be towards the end of basketball before he might be back after football and then get to play baseball. It's on his right shoulder. I saw that protective pad on him pregame when I walked down on the track.
Oh, wow.
12 and 47 flip-flop sides over there. Brian takes it from the shotgun, hands off to his running back. Perkle runs behind the big guys in the front there and got about 3 yards right up the middle.
And so you heard that you mentioned that shoulder. Were you – probably go to NGPG for that surgery here in our doctors at halftime.
It's on the right side of his shoulders, what I looked at down there earlier.
I can talk to you about shoulder surgery if you want to.
You've had that done, hadn't you?
You've had it all done, haven't you, Gary?
I've got more metal in me than the Starship Enterprise.
Does that mean they escort you straight to the plane and don't let you go through the metal detector?
I just tell them, put me in that big thing that x-rays your whole body.
They want to put him on the wing to help balance everything out.
Yeah.
Second down now, 6 yards to go. Ball's right across the 40 in Bluff territory. 4:41 remaining here in the game. Brian back, hands it off to his running back. Perkle scoots across and gets tripped up. Across the 45 down to the 46 is going to be short by about a yard. The third down and one for the Bears.
Like I can tell you right now, Gary's going to talk with Tommy Jones and not Sean Penn directly.
Yeah,
the game.
Yep, exactly right.
Yeah. Sean sometimes is a
tough interview.
Tough interview when he wins.
Exactly.
So we probably won't bother him tonight.
I would. 4:03 remaining.
I'm not sure what he'd tell me anyway.
He might be yelling at his players, get off the field like Tommy did a while ago. Two wideouts, one guy in close. Guy in close is Caleb Cooper. Going to hand off to Perkle again. Perkle squirts up the middle, got the first down to the 50.
Fumbled.
Ball came out behind him, got knocked out, but I believe the Bears fell on it. It's still going to be a first down at the 46 or 47, I think.
Aiden Willis ends up falling on the football.
Yep.
Now, do you give
down,
it to,
they're still short.
Well, yeah, he was well past the first down necessary marker, about midfield, but the ball bounced back to the 46.
You know, I'm not sure at this point you just don't go for it.
Yeah.
Keep the chains moving if you can.
That might be what they're going to do.
Put the bully boys in there and get yourself a yard.
Well, they might do a hard count, try to see if they can't get anybody to jump off sides.
That's what you're going to do. Brian came in there and gave some instruction to his players. He's right in there.
He's under center.
What they're going to do, and now they're going to blow the whistle. It's going to be a...
Oh, they got a violation.
Might be kicking somebody out of the game.
It's a sidelines warning.
Yeah, sideline warning right there. That's going to be, it's not a penalty, but... They just asked that young man to
Rylan Ackerman.
Ron Regan saw something he didn't like.
Joe, by the way, midway through the fourth quarter, and Mount Airy is now 31-28.
Put the guy in motion, guys. Drew him off sides.
Drew him off sides just enough to where they get the first down. They needed one. They got five. It'll be first down and at the 50.
The North Hall's got a lot to work on before next week.
Yes, they do.
East
Hall next week, and East Hall's got a pretty good little team, Aaron.
That's right. They better be buckling their chin straps up because the Vikings going to come to play.
Well, they call it fast break football at East Hall.
I heard you say that last week, and with Jamarcus Harrison as their quarterback, he can run and sling it both. He's got big Chasen Jones that can catch the ball. Chasen, we saw him last year on the basketball court. So you know that that fast break football is going to happen. First down and 10, ball right across midfield on the North Hall 49. One wide out, going to hand off to the running back. I think that was Purple. They got it right back to the line of scrimmage is it.
Well, they're going to use every
Charlie
bit of
House
that.
On the stop.
They're going to use every bit of that play clock.
Yep.
And I don't see North Hall trying to stop it.
So. 2:16 remaining now. So, as Mike said a while ago, turn out the lights in about 2 minutes and 9 seconds. I hope they leave them on long enough for Mike and I to get out of here. But 2 minutes.
Well, Joe, how do you feel if you're Tommy Jones and you're going to have Gary talking to you in about 2 minutes?
I feel
game
pretty
time.
Good about what happened. I mean, yeah, you know, it's been you only won the second half 7-6 so far.
Let me tell you something.
The defense
Harper,
played pretty well.
Tommy's looking for Gary.
He can't wait to tell him. I got a good feeling about my team if I'm any of the coaches on this staff right now.
It'll be a timeout or as legal procedure on Sherry Bluff.
I think they took a step toward the line of scrimmage in that all
Tommy
that motion.
Won't be as happy after that because that's one of those ones that you go back tomorrow morning and watch.
Joe, final score in Dahlonega. Lumpkin County 28, Hart County 25.
That's 2 years in a row they beat Hart County. That's a big win for them out there. Up at the burial grounds. Good for Coach Heath Webb and the Indians.
Their first win of the season.
Yep. They bring it to the line again. Got big Aiden Willis. And the other lineman up there with him, McElroy, Craig, Carter, and Maddox. Flip-flop tied in. A slot, going to give it off to number one, Kemp, in the backfield, and he's going to be wrapped up by, the ball got loose. North Hall says they got it. That's number 11, and he scoops forward for about 10 yards down to the 29. A helmet comes flying off. Is that number? No, it's number 17, Walker Davis, that recovered that fumble, and we got a flag coming out right there at the 30.
Jordan Maddox makes the tackle, but there's a couple of other Cherokee Bluff guys that were kind of chirping at some other players.
And guys, we'll have a moment. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification on 97.5 Glory FM.
97.5 Glory FM is WDTJ Murrayville Gainesville and W248DL Murrayville Gainesville.
Back. So even after Walker Davis got it, I believe that, it's going to be an unsportsmanlike and it's going back the other way. North Hall might have picked it up, but I don't see the offense out there yet for the Trojans.
Now, Tommy Jones is
got everybody up.
Telling his guys, as soon as this game's over, you shake hands and you better be the first one in the locker room.
Yep.
Or else.
As he said at halftime?
Get off the field. Mike? I think he said Mike, too. Didn't he? That's what I thought I heard.
That's what I heard.
All right, so North Hall is 1:32. Umpire and referee Ron Reagan got them together right there in the middle and say, cut this mess out. Let's play football and get it over with. You got 1:32. North Hall is going to have the football, first and 10, at the Bluff 44-yard line. Slayman has it, back to pass. The right-hander looks, throws it over the top, complete, down to number 88, Dawson Gray. Got the first down right at the sticks. First down for the Trojans.
Grace had a couple nice catches here in the second half, but a little too few, a little too far apart.
Well,
to get a first down there.
Yeah, we're in the so what territory now,
1:25 remaining. Snap to Slayman. Slayman looks. Going to go deep. Got a pretty good arm. Incomplete. Interference call. And you've got three flags in there now as Cole Cable is going through and looked like KT Thompson ran into him back there in the defensive backfield. That was number 15,
Underwood. Yep.
Tyler Underwood ran into him, so that's where the defensive pass interference.
Some of the fans here are going, hey, he was going up for the ball, which he was. The ball, he has just as much of a shot at go for the ball, but there was contact, obviously, with Cole Cable.
And Gary, you like this. Jefferson 42, Clark Central 14 in the fourth quarter.
Back in the day when I would watch Clark play and then I would go home and watch my Dragons play, it was like watching from Pee Wee play.
Yeah.
That was how much bigger and how many more people Clark were on their team.
First down Right inside the 20 and around the 19. Schleyman with a man coming on him. Throws it as a man makes contact. Intercepted.
Intercepted.
In the zone. Number six, or is that number five? Number six. Malcolm Milton. Miss out with the interception. Playing center field. The intended receiver that time was Cable. Yep. Millsap stepped in front and intercepted in the end zone.
Millsap's got good size. He's about 6'1". He went up like a basketball player and brought that thing down to his chest. And now you can the sweetest formation of all, the victory formation.
Victory formation, yep.
When it rains, it pours, guys. I don't know what to tell North Hall right now because nothing worked tonight.
Nothing, exactly.
We couldn't throw very well in the first half. We couldn't catch very well.
But that second or third possession when they came down the field, I said, okay, we got us a ball game, and then all of a sudden, boom.
We've had turnovers. Mm-hmm. We've had block punts. We've had drop punts. We've had missed extra points. We've had a bunch of big penalties that we don't need to have.
Extra point
you almost, blocked. Yeah, you almost want to just burn this film and make everybody run tomorrow.
And your defense couldn't stop Bluff.
Exactly. Thank
goodness.
We'll do the victory formation. Brian in there. He'll take the knee. And they'll have to do it one more time with 104.
That's Cooper Dean. They're letting Cooper Dean
Cooper
take
Dean
a knee.
Okay, Cooper Dean's going to knee it off. He'll finish it off, Cooper.
Well, he came in for that play, you know.
He's a junior. Brian's a senior, so Dean will be the leader next year, you would assume.
Well,
he'll take it one more time, and that should be it, I would believe.
I think 3-0 is a pretty good place to start.
Oh, haven't you? Especially that third win against Lumpkin. And then North
Hall? The first one, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. You're in a really good place right now. I like where my team is. I like the confidence that you've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
But I'd rather be 3-0 than 0-3. And we got about 20 seconds before.
That'll be your ball game. 22 seconds as it runs out. Cherokee Bluff will have the win over the Trojans, the 38-13. And that will be your final score with 13 seconds and running down here at the end of the game.
And the coaches hug at midfield.
Good.
I mean, it was just
they were chatting.
One of these games, you just, you know, you take your lumps and you turn around, like you say, and flush this one.
Third win for the Bears over the Trojans in their young seven-year history.
Coach Jones.
I may get a chance to talk with Tommy during the final score, hopefully, this evening or tomorrow morning on the Saturday Morning Sports Show.
You don't win a lot. This has got to be pretty sweet.
Well, this is 3 in 7 years. So that's a pretty good percentage against that bunch, so we'll take it. Yeah, it is sweet. I mean, I'm just proud of our guys. I thought they played hard. They laid it on the line. Really excited for the way this bunch played.
Well, we talked about it before halftime. Your defense really stepped up again, gave you some opportunities.
Yeah, Coach Griffin, our defensive staff, they always do a fantastic job and put our guys in good position to make some plays. And our guys made those plays tonight, and we were able to limit what they do. North Hall has an excellent football team. The ball bounced our way a little bit tonight, but we'll take it. And just like I said, excited about the effort and the resiliency. Thought our kids played physical, which was good. And it was a big win for the Bears tonight.
You're an opportunistic team. You took advantage.
That's what good football teams have the ability to do. And just kind of proud of our kids for being able to capitalize on some things that we needed to.
After so many close losses last year, about a handful of points, you're 3-0 now, Coach. How does that make you feel?
We're 1-0 this week, and we're 0-0 starting tomorrow. So we got to get ready to go play Habersham, and we know it all starts over. But we're going to enjoy this one tonight. Just fired up.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate your time. All right, guys.
All right, thank you very much, Gary. And guys, you know that's what I've heard. That's where successful teams go. They have during the regular season 10 one-game seasons. Harper.
Yeah, I like the seeds that he's planted, especially during the offseason. You know, you see all those seniors from last year, these really good players, they're gone. And then you've got a bunch of smaller guys. You got guys who got to get in the weight room. You got guys who got to run a little bit more and get better shape. And you work real hard with them. But you keep planting these seeds. Hey, we're going to be good. Hey, you get your responsibilities. Hey, get your schoolwork done. Okay, take care of your moms and dads and do everything that you need to do at home, and then come out here hungry and ready to go, and we will win, and we will win, and they keep doing it, and now they're 3-0. It's a really good place to be.
The purple rain is falling here once again at Yona Field as the Bears win 38-13 to improve to 3-0 on the season. North Hall is now 0-2 on the season. Next week, the Bears go to Mount Airy. They'll take on the Habersham Central Raiders, and the Trojans go back to home for the first time this year. We'll be there, as it'll be East Hall and North Hall coming up next. We'll wrap things up and get ready for GNN's Friday Night Lights with Chester Proctor. We're back in two for Chester Cherokee Buff here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
Innovation at Jackson EMC.
To me, innovation is taking technology and doing something new with it.
I'm working with a global company. We're helping them be able to reduce their carbon footprint through some of our programs.
Here at Jackson EMC, we embrace innovation, such as solar power, electric vehicle programs, energy-efficient Right Choice homes. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
Back to school shouldn't mean back to the doctor. Make sure you go to Riverside Pharmacy for all of your health needs. They have everything from hand sanitizers to all of the vitamins you'll need. But if your child does get sick, then the expert pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy can get your family back to school by filling all of your prescriptions. They'll even deliver them in the Gainesville area. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
And I almost said earlier, I almost said Chestnut Mountain, let's call it Fly Ranch here with Cherokee Bluff as the Bears win by a final of 38-13. Guys, final comments.
Honestly, Mike, I'm surprised, really am. I thought, it was a 7-7 game. I thought it would be up in the trenches where it was really, really a battle. And, opportunistic. Coach Tommy Jones, Bears, very opportunistic tonight, and they played really well. They ran the ball well tonight, I thought.
And they were very physical, Harper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And then if you look out on the field right now, you're going to see most of the student body, especially the upperclassmen. You're seeing a lot of moms and dads, and that's what 3-0 does. It brings everybody together. Your girls' softball team, they are aware of what you're doing, and maybe a player goes and watches them play, and track and lacrosse and cross country and all these other great sports. It really does lift the entire school body. On the other side, it's 0-2 over there. They got some work to do over at North Hall. We'll be where they're playing next week. So hopefully they get things turned around and makes the corrections that they need to. They're a good football team. They just don't believe it right now.
Right.
All right, get ready, because coming up next, it is GNN's Friday Night Lights with Chester Proctor. And we're going to head back to the States. I'll be there as soon as I can to get ready for the final score until midnight this evening. Then tomorrow morning at 9:05, the Saturday Morning Sports Show. I'll have that for you. We'll talk high school, college, and pro football. We'll talk to Harper tomorrow morning. He'll get ready for college football tomorrow night with Georgia State and Georgia Tech starting at 7:30 right here on your home with the Panthers, 97.5 Glory FM. Once again, final score, Cherokee Bluff, 38. North Hall 13. Join us next week for more high school football on 97.5 Glory FM. For the entire sports team, for Joe Gailey, Gary Glenn, Harper LaBelle, and our producer Nathan Landy, I'm Mike Warford. Thanks for listening to 97.5 Glory FM. Good night, everybody.
This has been Friday Night Football in North Georgia on 97.5 Glory FM.
Tonight's game was brought to you by Conditioned Air Systems, NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine, Jackson EMC, Duplicating Products, Riverside Pharmacy, EMC Security, Siphon Logistics, North Hall Tire and Wheel, Representative Lee Hawkins, and by Millie's Drapery and Decorating. Join us next week for more exciting high school football on 97.5 Glory FM. This has been a sports presentation of WGTJ Radio, your radio station for North Georgia sports.